Taken as a whole, analysts say the latest census data provide wide-ranging evidence of a stabilizing U.S. economy. Scott Walterman, NBC News Radio, Washington.
President Obama and Mitt Romney are both in Florida today, a key battleground state. In what has become a battle of the videos, the Republicans are now talking about a video made in 1998 when President Obama was a state senator and in which he says he's for redistribution of wealth. This is NBC News Radio. A Denver man has won a $7.2 million verdict against the makers of microwave popcorn. Reporter Kim Christensen at affiliate KUSA says inhaling the artificial butter smell scarred his lungs.
You get that woof, that little woof of, and I would breathe it in.
Wayne Watson of Centennial previously described how to use, you know, he used to smell the steam of an open bag of popcorn. He would do this about two or three times a day. He was diagnosed with popcorn lung. Now, it turns out the chemical fumes from the artificial flavoring in that popcorn scarred his airways.
The defense argued his health problems stemmed from his years of working with carpet cleaning chemicals. A $1 billion jobs program intended to put veterans back to work is bogged down in the Senate. Republicans have blocked the legislation. A three-minute amusement park ride turned into a four-hour ordeal for about 20 people. When they got stuck 300 feet in the air, no one was hurt. I'm Veronica Dela Cruz, NBC News Radio.
We all know how important it is to back up our computer files, but actually doing it, that's a hassle. So get Carbonite Online Backup. Carbonite backs up your computer files automatically and continually. With Carbonite, you'll never have to remember to back up again, ever. Unlimited backup space for your PC or Mac is just $59 a year. Try it free at Carbonite.com with no credit card required. Type in the offer code BACKUP for two free bonus months with your subscription. That's Carbonite.com. Offer code BACKUP.
Every so often, the stars are in perfect alignment. And during the Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, now is that perfect moment. For a limited time, get 0.9% APR on the Certified Pre-Owned Lincoln of your choice, which also comes with the confidence of our 6-year, 100,000-mile comprehensive warranty. The Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, exclusively at your Lincoln dealer. APR varies by term. Not all buyers will qualify for Lincoln Automotive Financial Services limited-term financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by 10-1-12. See dealer for qualifications, limited warranty, and complete details.
Google is about to pull off the online advertising hat trick. It already dominates the business of web search advertising and mobile advertising. But now, thanks to the ubiquity of YouTube video commercials, eMarketer is predicting that Google is about to wrestle away from Facebook the title of king of display advertising. Starbucks is set to debut a line of products with something you don't see at Starbucks every day, competitive prices. Moving to get a bigger piece in the single-serve coffee business, the company will debut its Verismo coffee makers next month. They work much like Green Mountain's Keurig single-serve machines, the dominant player in the $8 billion market. The basic Verismo machine will cost $199. A report showing China's manufacturing activity shrinking for the 11th month in a row has hit markets in Asia and Europe today. They're down as much as 1%. S&P futures right now losing 5 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
I'm a mid-sized business.
One of the engines of a smarter planet.
I want to run my business in the cloud.
Who can I trust?
A bookstore?
A search site?
I need a partner with experience.
To manage my infrastructure.
And help keep my data secure.
Introducing IBM Smart Cloud, starting at $56 per month. Learn why IBM is the smarter choice for cloud at IBM.com/engines/cloud. Price subject to change.
Does your business thrive by serving other businesses? Would you like a healthy, steady flow of B2B leads that are customized to grow sales? Hoovers has developed a best-in-class lead generation tool that makes it easy for you to find targeted leads for your business. You'll be amazed at how easy it is to get the right leads fast. Try it today for free. Get 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial. Just call 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011.
I like saving money. I mean, it's not like I have a purse stuffed with coupons or... Okay, I do. The other day, I went into Wells Fargo to get help with a car loan.
Good news. You qualify for our double discount promotion. Get double the interest rate discount we normally give on select new loans and lines of credit just for being a Wells Fargo checking package customer.
And the best part? I didn't even need a coupon.
Come to Wells Fargo to discuss how the double discount promotion can help with the interest rate on your new loan or line of credit. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Subject to credit qualification. Wells Fargo Bank N.A. Equal housing lender.
It's the Great American Fix-Up at the Home Depot, with new projects every week and big savings every day. Like 15% off select special order doors and windows from top brands like American Craftsman, Masonite, and Feather River. Homes and energy bills are about to look a whole lot better. Come do a lot more for a lot less at the Great American Fix-Up going on now. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through September 26th.
Video first gained wide exposure. Turd containment
the program
crews
are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
As the clock chimes a reminder that it's time to punch in for another shift, those of us who have worked tirelessly to honor our contracts and the promise they represent have also been paying attention to the many promises that have been ignored by the politicians.
Now as we mark the time for change,
it is you and I who will confidently send the message that since it is only us who have upheld their promises, that 2012 marks the time for change. And change begins with First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Change. Good morning, everybody. It is Thursday, the 20th day of September 2012, and time is flying by. That's right. Already Thursday. We've got a great lineup for you. We've got lots of audio to get to. I have lots to talk about. I bring good news. I bring mixed news. I bring independent news. I'm bringing it all over the next 4 hours. And whether you're with me for a few minutes or ever, however long you can spend with us this morning, it is, of course, always my hope. We empower you with great information. We educate you to some degree. And maybe at some point along the way, we even entertain once or twice. We're going to do our very best to do all of that and more. I am happy to announce, finally, after many delays, the new website is up and running. Now, it's still the same old address, thetonyshow.org, but you will find lots of new features as I go through the next few days. You're going to find lots more content, and I am going to begin blogging. My first blog is already up, talking about voter registration and the importance of October 9th. You can, of course, go to thetonyshow.org and read all of that. Now, what is our plan for thetonyshow.org? Well, we'd like to make it more interactive and certainly would like some suggestions if you have them. So just feel free to send me an email at any time at tony@thetonyshow.org. And I certainly will consider every serious request. I'm also looking at doing some guest blogging stuff from other folks that appear on the show. Lots of things that we're going to be doing. Of course, the sponsors of my show will find a prominent place on the website as well. The important thing is it is up. It is functioning. I think it looks beautiful, and I'm very proud of the work that the folks at 921 Associates did on building that website. Really did a beautiful, beautiful job. So if you have a chance, go check it out and let me know what you think of it. I would appreciate that. All right, let's take a look at what we do have going on today, with the exception of one guest. This is kind of a regular Thursday, and it looks like, you know, we've kind of built Thursdays into a regular kind of day, which is just fine with me because we have some great regular guests, including journalist Susan Demas, who moves to her new time at 7:05 this morning, and we'll look forward to visiting with her. She has lots to talk about. Timing is fortuitous, being that she'll be our first guest today. Polling and everything that has to do with polling. Lots of polling information out there this morning as it relates to the state of Michigan. Hans Barbe will join us. Now, those of you that have listened to the show on a regular basis will remember, and it wasn't that long ago, that I did a daily Occupy Detroit segment. Hans was a oftentimes guest in that slot. Well, the Occupy movement, nationally and locally, celebrating 1 year. Are they still relevant? We'll ask Hans that question. and we'll get an honest answer. David Hecker, president of the American Federation of Teachers, joins us at the top of the 8 o'clock hour to talk about the Chicago's teacher strike and what it was really all about. Chris Mihalakis then joins us in the 9 o'clock hour. Ballot proposals, wall-to-wall from now to Election Day. So we're going to get to all of that and so much more. But with all that said, let's get this thing going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Asinine. And that's, as I was reading headlines late last night and early again this morning, asinine is the word that originally came to mind. More specifically, both the Republican-controlled House and Senate here in the state of Michigan have sent onto the governor's desk a bill that they would like to become law called the Four Strikes Bill. State Representative Harvey Santana was with us on Monday and walked us through the asinine aspects of that law, which could easily punish people that shouldn't be punished. What would the Four Strikes law allow a prosecutor to do? Mandatory minimum sentencing on your fourth felony conviction. Yo, Tony, you can't be soft on crime. Please don't tell me. We'll go to the podcast page and listen to Representative Santana's conversation with me on Monday and then tell me that this bill, which will probably become law, isn't asinine. Folks, if mandatory minimums worked, if they were truly a deterrent to crime, we would already have them, as would every other state in the country. There's a reason we don't. They don't work. But, as Representative Santana said on Monday, when you're a prosecutor, you've got to be tough on crime. And what better way to be tough on crime, well, than to not have to make a decision? That's right. It takes away a decision is exactly what it does. You don't think prosecutors are anxious to get their hands on this? Think again. The governor will surely sign it. And oh, my God, asininity will rule again in the state of Michigan. We're getting really, really good at that. Anyway, today's first word, appropriately, and I think it applies to lots of other things we'll talk about today, is asinine. So good morning again. Let me turn my attention to Anthony now, who was walking a little gingerly this morning. Played a little flag football last night. I know you enjoyed it, but that's not what we're here to talk about. Just guess letting people know that you're physically active, eh? Good morning.
What does walking gingerly mean?
You were a little tentative. You looked like you were sore.
Okay.
Am I right?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. I guess you played football last week, too, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Is this like a regular thing? Are you on the team now?
Yeah. Wednesday nights, yep.
Oh, good for you. All right. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I know you enjoy playing football. I know you are a huge fan of the sport, and you were quite a good football player when you played the sport yourself. So, anyway, good for you. Tigers won last night, 6-2. Justin Verlander pitched well, in fact, pitched six scoreless innings. Why only six, you ask? Well, that was the pitch count. It was interesting, you know, it's that ESPN stat thing that you always talk about. It was really funny because ESPN keeps this stat. You ready for this, A?
Yep.
How many pitches are fouled off? So they determined they fouled off 34 Justin Verlander pitches during the game, which was a high for Verlander on the year, and only ESPN would know that.
Do you know what the median is for that?
I have no clue. But I'm sure they do, and I'm sure they will talk about it at some point, but it was an ESPN stat. I mean, literally an ESPN stat. Miguel Cabrera hits another home run. Again, Chicago loses, Anthony, so we pick up a game, two behind, playing good baseball right now.
Yeah, I mean, we seem to stay two behind, though. It's like we win one, we lose one, we win one, they lose one. So we just need to put together like five in a row, and they need to lose a couple in a row, and we need to overtake them because the wild card's out of the question.
It is out of the question. We're still five games out in the wild card chase, only two games out for the division lead, which would guarantee us a spot in the playoffs. And again, Miguel Cabrera hits another home run last night. The MVP chatter is strong nationally, as you heard this morning on our way in when we were listening to WDFN. and that national show that we listened to on the way in, they were chanting MVP for Cabrera, and justifiably so. I think he's certainly having an MVP type year. He is now just one home run behind the tie for the lead in the major in the American League. Of course, he could end up with a triple crown. And as somebody wrote yesterday, I was reading on a blog, there's no way you don't win the triple crown and also not win the MVP.
Right. I mean, especially since it hasn't been done since, what was it, the 60s?
67, I think. Carl Yastrzemski?
Yep, that's it.
All right. So, again, just playing well. And, you know, we've got some guys down right now. So, as long as we continue to keep pace and, like you said, win a few more than they win, well, that's kind of what needs to happen in order to gain the lead in the division and make it to the playoffs. I don't like it when any of my teams come out early. The lockout in the NHL, absolutely no news, Anthony, and there won't be. I don't think I'm seriously concerned that they're going to have a season this year.
Yeah, they're not even meeting right now. I'm not understanding what is. They're not even like trying to get a deal done. I guess they're just that far apart. I don't know.
They are that far. They're that far apart, and it's at this point, it's all about money. That's all it's about, period, money. And the players have drawn their line in the sand. The owners have drawn their line in the sand, so they don't see any need to meet because they're not even close, nowhere close to any kind of common ground. I mean, it's just absolutely not going to happen. Still not hearing anything on the NFL referee strike. The NFL referees have been locked out as well. I believe it is seriously impacting the game. I'm just waiting for a player to get hurt on a stupid call, which very well could happen. And I don't know if you saw it, Anthony, but there was a story yesterday that the average game in the NFL this year is running 31 minutes longer than ever in the history of the sport because of the officiating.
Yeah, I did hear that. I didn't see the story, but I have heard that.
So that's just, that's 31 minutes, a long time.
Now, did you see that they had the first missed call? There was a helmet-to-helmet this over the weekend.
The Seattle one?
Yep, and then they went in or fined them $21,000.
Yeah, I did hear about that. All right, let's take a quick break. Lots to get to on the other side. 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. Go check out thetonyshow.org. We'll take the break on 1310 WDTW. We'll be back. Lots to do on this Thursday morning. Stay with us.
With Tony,
I've always thought it as something that's still holding the country back. You choose to love whoever you love. It's no different than discriminating against blacks. It's discrimination, plain and simple.
On 1310 WDTW.
I think it's the right thing to do, so whether it costs them votes or not, it's really not about votes. It's about people.
1310 WDTW. Continuous Traffic Watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by McDonald's.
Taking your early morning commute and you are problem-free so far. Just got some road construction on the 696 Service Drive westbound at Van Dyke. Intermittent lane closures are scheduled until 9 p.m. And 94 eastbound ramps to the Southfield Freeway, northbound and southbound, are closed until late September, so expect some delays in that area. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Drive through McDonald's and try a daily double. It's two beef patties with cheese, lettuce, tomato, mayo, and onions. You can try it for just $1.99 on McDonald's new extra value menu. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 72 with showers in the early morning and partly cloudy throughout the day. Tonight, a low of 49. Tomorrow, 71 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 60 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely, so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together, until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members, a place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
First word.
First thoughts.
First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you.
First Shift on 1310WDTW with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock in the morning. All right, before I get to audio, and I got plenty of audio, there's something. One of our listeners, Frank, was nice enough to send me some information. And I just think it, every now and then it's kind of important that we reset what's going on. We get so justifiably. We get so wrapped up in the day-to-day of the campaigns and what's happening, and although we seem to have forgotten about issues, unless it's something that slaps us in the face right now, like Libya, that we do kind of forget and to put into perspective what has improved. And things are not perfect. I'll be the first to say that. And yesterday, unfortunately, I posted the unemployment numbers for last month in Michigan are up 0.3% to 9.4. I'll have plenty to say about that in a little while, but you know, things are not perfect, and I get that, but things are better. And we always can't live under a microscope. It's not just what's happening in Michigan. It's what's happening around the country. I am, of course, because of my liberal leanings, one of those people that doesn't necessarily believe that just because things aren't great for me doesn't mean they're not great for someone else, and I don't begrudge anybody their personal or professional satisfaction or success. With that said, I just want to run through a list of facts. These are all facts, and I'd be happy to email this to any of you that would like to share it with your friends, family, compatriots. But you know, let's talk a little bit about the economy. The economy actually has improved. Corporate profits, by the way, as many of us know, are at an all-time high. They're just not spending the money. U.S. corporate profits have soared from $1.2 trillion in 2008 to $1.8 trillion in 2011. 2010 and 2011 were successive record profit years for corporations, and the first and second quarters of 2012 are also at record profit levels. Think about that. Corporations are paying less tax now under President Obama than they did under George W. Bush. Corporations paid tax of $379 billion at a 20% rate in the record profit year 2011 compared to $473 billion that which is 26% in 2006, which was their most profitable year under George Bush. The total stock market, by the way, has appreciated roughly $10 trillion. I said that, yeah, $10 trillion since Barack Obama has taken office. The Dow stock average has jumped 71% since January 2009 when the president took office. As of September 13th, it was up 71%. That's very good news. House values have started to rise. I posted something on Facebook, the Facebook page the other day about that. Standard & Poor's and Case-Shiller's index, which measures these things, rose from the first quarter 2009 to the second quarter of 2012. Housing starts have improved dramatically, jumping from a January 2009 to 490,000 housing starts, and to July of 2012, where we see 746,000. Think about that. From 490,000 to 748,000. Well, anyway, there's lots to get to. I just want to share this because there's lots of reasons to be optimistic. There's lots of measurables. These are factual measurables on why the president and his administration have been serving the entirety of the country. There was practically nothing a new president could do in the first few months, of course, of his administration to change the economic momentum that was created by George W. Bush and his cronies. The unemployment rate skyrocketed under Bush from 5% in January 2008 to 7.8% in January 2009. The Bush job loss momentum continued through February of 2009. To 8.3% March, it was up to 8.7%, all the way to the high of 10% in October of 2009. The unemployment rate is down from February 2009, and particularly October 2009. So we have seen improvement. And you know, most of this is, whether you like it or not, is as a result of the policies of the Bush administration. U.S. businesses, by the way, have shipped many American jobs to China, increasing the U.S. unemployment rate, which is why Debbie Stabenow sponsored the legislation she did to get them to move through tax incentives to get them to move the jobs back, to repatriate them back to the United States. Without, by the way, the 662,000 job losses to China, the current U.S. unemployment rate would be around 7.5%. Without the 2.7 million losses since 2001, the unemployment rate would be under 6.5%. So keep that in mind. We keep outsourcing jobs, and this is what happens. Record business profits come at the expense of workers, unfortunately. We know that all too well. We could talk about AT&T and Verizon and others. Companies are making more per dollar of sales than they ever have before and keeping more of it than they ever have before. Fewer Americans are working than at any time in the last three decades, and one reason corporations are so profitable is they don't employ as many Americans as they used to. I think we all know that. Wages as a percent of the economy are at an all-time low. And one reason companies are so profitable, again, is that they're paying employees less than they ever have as their share of the gross domestic product, and that, in turn, is one reason the economy is so weak. Job creators, where are you? By the way, top management, all-time record in compensation. You ask yourself, why are businesses hoarding cash? I don't know. I don't know that economists completely know the answer to that. But they're holding on to cash very tightly. They're not investing it. And if you're saying, well, that's because they don't believe in this president, they're waiting for a Republican to come into office. If they're doing that, well, I think that speaks for itself. So you ask yourself the question. I mean, I just gave you a handful of facts. There's nothing complicated about what I told you. I can substantiate factually with unbiased sources everything I just shared with you. And you have to ask yourself the question, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? Well, maybe you're not. That's fair. But are we better off now than we were 4 years ago? And the answer to that is definitively yes. So let us be careful, at least as far as the economy goes. There are other, certainly, there are other factors that we have to consider when we look at the total picture. But at the end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, we are making progress. And I want to repeat this one more time. Mitt Romney is continuing to make the claim that he will create 12 million jobs in the next 4 years. A, he can't do that by himself. And B, even the most conservative economist is saying that 12 million jobs will be created in the next 4 years, no matter who the president is. Well, Mitt, go ahead and take it if you want, but we'll just keep reminding everybody, if you've got a plan, you haven't shared it with us yet. All right, we'll get to some audio, your calls, whatever is on your mind is fine with me, 888-552-3595. We start with some good news, we get to some weird stuff after we do this on First Shift. Good Thursday morning, stay with us, we'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report brought to you by Central Michigan University.
Let's check your roads, and it is all quiet, looking good on your commute so far. Just got some road work that has you reduced down to one lane in each direction on 12 Mile at Losser. 94 eastbound ramps to the Southfield Freeway, northbound and southbound are closed until late September. And the 696 service drive westbound at Van Dyke, more road construction there. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Central Michigan University's global campus in Metro Detroit, offering accredited, adult-friendly degree programs to working professionals at seven Metro Detroit centers since 1972. Go to cmich.edu/Detroit for more information.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 72 with showers in the early morning and partly cloudy throughout the day. Tonight, a low of 49. Tomorrow, 71 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 60 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Food fight, everyone. Let's all join the fun. Actually, this is neither fun nor a fight that America's consumers and organic food producers wanted to be in. But we've been forced into it by a cabal of corporate profiteers and their government enablers. For 20 years, they've plotted to hurl fields full of spoiled food at us, including corn, soybeans, cereals, bread, and snacks. These foods have been spoiled by corporate geneticists rejiggering the very DNA of our foodstuffs. They've taken genes from other species, including animals and bacteria, and artificially slipped the foreign material into nature's own healthy products. The industry asserts that these genetically engineered crops increase farm yields and make food cheaper. But in fact, GE yields are down and grocery prices are up. The real purpose of DNA engineering has simply been to create plants that absorb more pesticides. Excuse me, but if these tampered products are so great, why are the big food manufacturers who use them not bragging about that wonderful fact to shoppers? They should be running ads shouting, "Hey, we've got GEs in here." Instead, they've conspired behind closed doors with lawmakers and regulators to keep consumers in the dark about any GE ingredients inside the products. This is Jim Hightower saying, this brings us to the big food fight. A coalition of consumers, organic advocates, nutritionists, and others have successfully put the Right to Know Genetically Engineered Food initiative on California's November election ballot. It would require food from GE crops to be labeled as such. Spooked by the very thought of consumer disclosure, an array of corporate giants are now flooding money and lies into the state to defeat the people's fundamental right to know what's in their food. To join the fight for honesty, go to carighttoknow.org.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. at Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
It is 35 minutes after 6 o'clock on this very early Thursday morning. Not nearly as chilly this morning for those of you that are already out and about. For those of you that are about to head out, not nearly as chilly this morning. I guess there's the obvious point to be made there. I'm a big fan of the show The West Wing. Big, big, big fan. And it's really... I don't know, of all of the television shows I have ever enjoyed in my adult life, I think it comes close if it isn't my most favorite. It was just, everything about it was excellent. Interestingly, a nice segue into promoting next Tuesday's show, when we're going to have the three Supreme Court candidates that were endorsed by the Michigan Democratic Party on the show, Connie Kelly, Sheila Johnson, and Bridget Mary McCormick. I'm very much looking forward to that. Well, Bridget Mary McCormick is the sister of Mary McCormick. For those of you who don't know who Mary McCormick is, she is an actress, a rather attractive blonde, and she was on The West Wing. She played the national security advisor for a period of time towards the end of its run. And, well, I don't know how she pulled it off, but Bridget Mary McCormick got the cast of The West Wing in character to do an ad for her campaign. And actually, it's kind of a combination of a public service announcement and a campaign announcement. Let's listen to the audio. It's awesome.
Previously on The West Wing.
Hey, crisis.
Are you calling me Crisis? Like as my hip-hop nickname?
I'm saying there's a crisis.
Is it serious?
No, Will, it's frivolous. It's a frivolous crisis. Walk and talk.
I'm really stretched. Ever.
Stupid coffee maker.
Please tell me this isn't the crisis.
This isn't the crisis.
Is this the voting thing?
What the voting thing?
The crisis. It's the crisis, the voting thing.
What voting thing?
It's the voting thing. How'd you find out? Josh.
This is a disaster. It's a catastrophe. It is a cataclysmic event unrivaled by the likes of any calamity since the dawn of history.
Hey.
Boo-boo.
Ballpark the odds of you reaching your point anytime in the frantic foreseeable future.
People aren't voting.
For us or the other guy, because there's two ways to see that.
No, in nonpartisan elections all across America, voters are leaving part of their ballots blank, and they don't even know it.
Okay, explain this to me like I'm a two-year-old, and try to do it like you're not. Come on, I'll give you a lolly.
Okay. People walk into the voting booth, they check the straight party ticket box, and they think that they have voted for everything, but they haven't. They still have to vote on the nonpartisan section of the ballot.
That's the part towards the back.
Usually, but not necessarily. They still have to look for it. And it's not rocket science. It's labeled. But it takes the voter like an extra 10 seconds to find it. So it's a thing. We're not talking dog catching here.
State Supreme Court.
State Supreme Court. Michigan is one of 15 states that uses nonpartisan elections to choose their Supreme Court justices. This is Bridget Mary McCormick. It's Mary McCormick's sister. She's running for state Supreme Court in the nonpartisan section of the ballot. Married, mother of four, dean at Michigan Law. Bridget has spent her entire career fighting for justice for ordinary people, for families with sick kids, for victims of domestic violence. She's fought to free innocent men and women and get the actual criminals behind bars. She likes baseball, and I'm going to buy her a ring.
Seriously? Quick question.
Who's Mary McCormick?
Who's Mary McCormick?
No clue, but something tells me she's delightful and whip smart, possibly hot. Hard to say, really. Come on, we're walking and talking.
Harold, copies of Josh's brief.
For the little big man?
Already in his hands.
Music to my ears.
If people fail to realize that a straight ticket vote doesn't count in nonpartisan races, if they just casually vote the party line, then their interest will continue to go unrepresented.
Josh is convinced that it's something more than a crisis. He's upgraded it to a calamity, a catastrophe.
I'm telling you, it's an apocalypse. It's an apocalypse now? What say you, CJ?
Shall we have calmer heads prevail?
Mr. President, as you know, the men and women who sit on the state Supreme Courts rule on issues that affect literally millions of Americans.
Nothing big, you know, niche issues like civil rights.
The environment.
Workplace protection.
Voter protection.
This isn't even about which side of those issues you're on. We should do something because that's...
Because we can. And my suggestion box is wide open.
All it would take, really, is a gentle reminder for people to look for the nonpartisan section on their ballot and go vote there. I was thinking we could make a video.
Frank, maybe with beloved TV personalities, one of whom might be considered a movie star, handsome Louis C.K.
Wow, really?
Read the message for us. When the solution is simple, God is answering. That's a quote from some old quack named Einstein. All right, friends, let it be written, let it be done. Mrs. Federer, that's away. What's next?
I'm Bridget Mary McCormick, and I approve this message.
All right, I got to tell you, it just harkens back to the days for me. For those of you that really weren't fans of or never watched The West Wing, you have no clue what you missed. It was compelling. Each and every episode, absolutely fantastic. In fact, Aaron Sorkin, who is the creator of The West Wing, is also the creator of the new HBO show, The Newsroom, which probably has a very similar feel to it because, well, it's him. A little bit of trivia on this one. If you've ever seen the movie The American President, well, Aaron Sorkin wrote that movie. And that was really the pilot in many ways. It really was the template for the television show The West Wing, which was in its time one of the most watched television shows in the history of television. It was extremely well produced from beginning to end. Every season was as good, if not better, than the last season, and that they were all came together like that. Of course, those of you that are familiar with the cast and familiar with the show know that Mary McCormick was the one that was uttering those lines, the whole "Who's Mary McCormick?" And then, you know, she's the one that actually says, I heard she's hot. That's funny. That's supposed to be funny anyway. But again, it's a combination of public service announcement reminding us, which we will do again, that you really have to make an effort to vote on the nonpartisan portion of your ballot. And, of course, in that particular ad, they're also asking you to vote for Bridget Mary McCormick, who will be with us on Tuesday morning's show at 9 a.m. Very clever, very well done. I think we can kind of guess how she got them to do this, but I can't imagine what it cost to get them all together to do this, unless, of course, they donated their time, which they can do. An in-kind donation is allowed. I just think it's very clever, and again, makes me a little nostalgic for a show that I missed terribly for many years after it ran. And I don't remember what year it went off the air, but for a few years after its run was over, it was on I believe it was A&E in the morning and early morning, and I used to watch it every morning, and Bravo, actually. And they stopped airing it. So I don't get to see it in reruns anymore. I guess I could go out and buy the DVDs. But it is a great show. For those of you that watched The West Wing, it was compelling. It was everything you would want, especially for us lefties. It was everything you would want the White House to be and more. In fact, there was a time, and some of you will remember this, during one of the presidential cycles where they actually polled if you would vote for Martin Sheen, who played the president through 99.9% of its run, and he actually polled quite high. That's how beloved the character was. Certainly, there's been speculation who they emulated him after. I don't think they emulated him after anyone. I think Aaron Sorkin created a character of a president we would want to have. And I think that's why he resonated so much with those that watch the show. Anyway, I have posted that video to the Facebook page early this morning. If you would like to go there and see it again or watch it instead of just hear it and share it with those you care about, feel free to do that. It's a lot of fun. They also have another version that's just a public service announcement version only that doesn't mention voting for Bridget Mary McCormick for Supreme Court, Michigan Supreme Court. But at the end of it, the tag is paid for by Bridget Mary McCormick for Supreme Court. So she is, of course, offering that up for those. I don't know. I don't think anybody's going to air it for free except for people like me. And there may be others. But it's just very clever, very classy, and I think it helps her. It's got to be from a campaign video standpoint because it's really – almost like a mini drama. You know, it's over 4 minutes long, so it's not an ad per se. It's not something that you could put on TV, but I can see how something like this could easily go viral, and I'm sure it will. But really clever. And I know Eclectablog is covering that story today as well. So if you go to eclectablog.com, you can read the background on how that all came about. So very, very clever, very well done. Good for you, Bridget Mary McCormick, for getting an amazing gift, because I do believe that it ultimately will help her. On a very serious note, before we get to the break, I do want to remind you that nonpartisan part of the ballot is critical. That's where you're going to find your local initiatives, whether that's a millage increase, whatever it is. You'll find it on the nonpartisan part of your ballot. Judges, nonpartisan part of your ballot. Supreme Court, nonpartisan part of the ballot. Don't forget to either look at the bottom of the ballot or turn the ballot over, and don't walk away until you've completely filled out your ballot. You've got time between now and November 6th to study the candidates. You can either go online or go to your city clerk's office and get a sample ballot, and you can start doing that studying now. Of course, we're helping you. Right? Right. Okay. We'll take another break. We haven't forgotten about Willard. Don't worry. We'll take care of him on the other side. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Jay, welcome to First Shift.
How you doing, Tony? Excellent show.
Frank, good morning.
You got a great show, by the way.
Tom, listening in Chicago.
You got a great show, Tony. You've been doing a great job. I've been listening to you since you came on the air, and good luck with it, and I hope you keep it going.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us,
like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595. First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310. WDTW.
10 minutes before 7 o'clock, and good morning to you on this Thursday morning. The Democratic National Committee has put together a new 2-minute ad that it is parading about. Listen, Mitt Romney asked for it. As I posted on Facebook yesterday, it's not like we were actually having to make this stuff up, unlike Mitt Romney. He's giving us plenty to talk about. The DNC pouncing on that opportunity has put together an ad they're calling Outside the Circle, and this is what it sounds like.
The Romney campaign is in crisis mode, scrambling to explain a secretly recorded tape where Romney tells wealthy donors nearly half of all Americans see themselves as victims.
He talked about citizens who see themselves as victims, pay no income taxes. He went on to say his job is not to worry about those people.
What he said in that speech was that all of them don't pay taxes. All of them are victims. All of them want free health care, think they're entitled to free housing. He essentially smeared everyone.
It suggests that he really doesn't know much about the country he inhabits. Who are these freeloaders? Is it the Iraq war veteran who goes to the VA? Is it the student getting a loan to go to college? Is it the retiree on Social Security or Medicare?
If Mr. Romney is so upset that so many Americans are not paying income taxes, does that mean taxes on middle class or lower middle class Americans will go up?
A lot of Americans of all income stripes have struggled the last few years, and the risk for Governor Romney is it is insulting to them. As a kid, my family was on food stamps for a few years when my dad got sick. We didn't feel entitled, and we weren't victims, and my father was actually pretty embarrassed about the whole thing. But in the end, my mother was grateful she was able to feed her kids.
It was almost oafish for someone who has a bank account in the Cayman Islands in order to reduce taxes to criticize someone who's in need.
It's going to reverberate with working class white people who don't pay taxes. It's going to reverberate with women. It's going to reverberate with military families. I don't think there's any group that's not going to in some way be either hear about what he said or see themselves somehow reflected in it.
It's not just this comment. It's a pattern. It's a series over time. Americans tend to create a circle in their mind of people inside that circle, of people who would make a credible, comfortable president, someone they could see in that office and they would feel comfortable with. I think this pattern of statements is increasingly placing Mitt Romney outside that circle for a growing number of Americans.
There you go. that just is what it is. Now, obviously, not everybody's going to see it the same way. And Fox News has their own interesting take on everything. They sat down with nationally syndicated conservative talk show host Laura Ingraham to get, well, their collective take on what, quote unquote, really happened. This is what they had to say.
So what did he say that's wrong?
Well, I mean, the percentage might be off by 1 or 2 percentage points, depending on how you formulate it. But the bottom line, and I tweeted this late last night, the bottom line is Mitt Romney speaking at a fundraiser about the challenges that a Republican faces in this presidential race, not all that unlike what political pundits, many of them hyperventilating today, have said, that there's a small slice of the electorate that is undecided. That's right. Basically what he's saying there.
Yeah. The idea that somehow you're declaring this race, well, the race is over. Mitt Romney doesn't care about people. Meanwhile, we have a president of the United States whose policies have undermined the 47%. And the media is just like, oh, well, he's with Jay-Z this week. He's with Beyonce. He did an NBA fundraiser. Michelle's on with Rachel Ray yesterday. Isn't this great? The policies of this president have hurt the 47%. Mitt Romney's merely talking about the political challenges that he faces.
Right.
Period.
So I think for the first 50 seconds of that soundbite, yes, exactly. I agree with you. But here's going to be the problem about what they're going to make hay about. It's the last two lines. It's not his math. It's going to be this quote. So my job is not to worry about those people. I'll never convince them that they should take personal responsibility for their lives. So he has to hammer home the fact in successive press events, he has to hammer home the fact that my policies, what I'm going to do when I'm president, not what I'm going to say like Barack Obama, Mr. Hope and Change. What I'm going to do is I'm going to lift all the boats. That means you don't resent rich people. Become a rich person by having opportunity and an economy that's growing. growing. I'm going to do those things. They're going to focus on these words, and he said this. I'm going to do the things that are going to help you. You might not support me now, but let me tell you something. When you see what I'm going to do in this White House and with my team in place, you're going to come along with us, and that'll be terrific. So I think your point, Gretchen, let me just finish, is well taken. Okay. That snippet is going to be used. However, it's incumbent upon Mitt Romney to further this case that, look, his ideas and policies are going to grow this economy. Obama says he cares, but he doesn't really.
You seem extra fired up today. I am.
I'm very pumped up about this.
Well, you should be pumped up about it because you're lying. So maybe the louder you talk, the truer it becomes for you, Laura Ingraham. I mean, it's ridiculous. Everything you said was nothing but a bald-faced lie. But that, of course, is part of the conservative mantra. If you can't use the truth, then just use a lie. And don't worry about it. Don't think about it. And certainly don't lose any sleep over it. The policies of this administration, as I just factually walked you through them a half an hour ago, have helped the 47%. In fact, have helped 100% because corporations are doing better than they ever have, paying less taxes than they ever have. But let's just ignore the truth. It's interesting that, everybody's got to find a way to spin this. Why don't we just take it at face value, which is what the other side is doing. We're just taking what he said at face value. We're not spinning anything. We're not interpreting anything. We're reporting what he said. That's all we're doing. Now, when we have time a little bit later on, we're going to play a piece from the Comedy Central show, the Sweet Jesus, Jon Stewart show on Comedy Central from last night, where he does this thing called Chaos on Bullcrap Mountain. Not bullcrap, but you got it. It just points out the hypocrisy, especially of Fox News. It blows my mind. At one point in this, and I didn't listen to the final cut, but at one point in this, Jon Stewart of The Daily Show says, shows this clip of Sean Hannity going, and Mitt Romney said this way back in May. Yeah, because way back in May was really long ago. Oh, my, oh, my. We do know now exactly how Mitt Romney feels. There's a great article in the Huffington Post early this morning from a woman that has been a Republican, a registered Republican since she was 18. She is now in her 50s. And as a result of Mitt Romney's comments, has firmly put herself in the Democrat aisle. Why is she now a Democrat? Well, a variety of reasons, but mostly because after paying into a system her entire life, her son and two of her three grandchildren were murdered by her daughter-in-law. As a result of that, she was traumatized, could no longer work, had to leave her job, and now needs disability. Now needs government help, and she can't get it. And then she hears Mitt Romney say that. Yeah, you're right. There are just a lot of lazy people out there, conservatives, that are just waiting for people like me to make more money so they can have more. Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. Ridiculous. All right, a quick break for the top of the hour. Susan Demas in the next hour. Hans Barbe from the Occupy Movement as we continue on our Thursday morning journey. Stay with us. Let's get to the top of the hour news from NBC. I'm Tony Trupiano. First Shift continues after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Greektown Casino.
Let's check your roads, and it is all quiet, looking good on your commute so far. Just got some road work that has you reduced down to one lane in each direction on 12 Mile and Losser. 94 eastbound ramps to the Southfield Freeway, northbound and southbound are closed until late September. And the 696 service drive westbound at Van Dyke, more road construction there.
That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Greektown Casino Hotel, voted best casino of 2012 by Metro Mix readers. Find out more at greektowncasino.com.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 72 with showers in the early morning and partly cloudy throughout the day. Tonight, a low of 49. Tomorrow, 71 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 60 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
Hey, it's Joe. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 AM WDTW Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is up next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansing. Mitt Romney looking to rebound from his video remarks that 47% of Americans believe they are victims entitled to government support. NBC's Andrea Mitchell says the GOP hopeful is back on the attack.
In Atlanta, Mitt Romney tore into the president, accusing him of wanting to redistribute the wealth based on a comment he made when he was a state senator in 1998.
Meantime, both candidates are on the battleground state of Florida, where a Fox News poll shows the president leads by 5%. Fewer commuters are driving solo. That's the gist of a USA Today report that shows carpooling and public transportation are up because of high gas prices. AAA says we're paying an average of $3.85 for regular. And new concern about global warming. Scientists say the amount of ice in the Arctic Ocean shrank to an all-time low this year. That means less polar ice to reflect the sun, a development that could hasten the rise in temperatures and global sea levels. This is NBC News Radio. Welcome news for the beleaguered housing industry. Home construction, sales, and prices are all on the rise. CNBC's Diana Olick.
Even the realtors were saying that the housing recovery seems, quote, much more convincing, but they still warn that there are headwinds, like just how tough it is to get a mortgage these days that are making that recovery weaker than it could be.
30-year fixed-rate mortgages as low as 3.5% if you can qualify. A day before the launch of the iPhone 5, AT&T is focusing attention on the dangers of using your phone in the car. In a new ad campaign dubbed It Can Wait, the cell phone giant is reaching out to teenage drivers to take the pledge, don't text while you drive. And if Arkansas football coach John L. Smith is a touchdown these days, it's because he says he's nearly $26 million in debt. Smith blames massive real estate losses for his personal bankruptcy filing. It's a double whammy for the coach, whose Razorbacks just lost to Alabama, 52-0. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
Every so often, the stars are in perfect alignment. And during the Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, now is that perfect moment. For a limited time, get 0.9% APR on the certified pre-owned Lincoln of your choice, which also comes with the confidence of our 6-year, 100,000-mile comprehensive warranty. The Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, exclusively at your Lincoln dealer. APR varies by term. Not all buyers will qualify for Lincoln Automotive Financial Services Limited Term Financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by 10-1-12. See dealer for qualifications, limited warranty, and complete details.
This is Charles Osgood. In this moment, who has your back? Do you know the name of your insurance agent? Does your agent know your name? Or would you call a 1-800 number that connects you with who? Another state? Another country? Get a local, independent insurance agent with Auto Owners Insurance. Someone you can call when bad stuff happens to your car, home, or business. In this moment, get an agent who will protect you in that moment. Auto Owners Insurance. The no problem people.
In Ann Arbor, call Finn's JM&J Insurance at 734-668-4050.
The unveiling of new boutique stores within existing department stores and yesterday's announced partnership with Walt Disney are helping raise prospects for JCPenney's future. But it's a future that isn't coming this year. The boss at Penney is warning the coming holiday shopping season will be a tough one for the company as it keeps struggling with a new pricing policy built around lower prices every day rather than coupons and one-day sales. Mortgages soon could become more expensive depending on where you live. The regulator behind Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac will propose today a new fee for mortgage applications to be paid by the applicants. The initial proposal will be for 5 states where foreclosures are slower: New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Florida, and Illinois. A report showing China's manufacturing activity shrinking for the 11th month in a row has hit stock markets around the world. And hard, maybe milder losses here, though. S&P futures losing just 4 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
I'm a mid-sized business.
One of the engines of a smarter planet.
I want to run my business in the cloud. Who can I trust?
A bookstore?
A search site?
I need a partner with experience.
To manage my infrastructure.
And help keep my data secure.
Introducing IBM Smart Cloud, starting at $56 per month. Learn why IBM is the smarter choice for cloud at IBM.com/engines/cloud. Price subject to change.
Does your business thrive by serving other businesses? Would you like a healthy, steady flow of B2B leads that are customized to grow sales? Hoovers has developed a best-in-class lead generation tool that makes it easy for you to find targeted leads for your business. You'll be amazed at how easy it is to get the right leads fast. Try it today for free. Get 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial. Just call 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011.
We all know how important it is to back up our computer files, but actually doing it, that's a hassle. So get Carbonite Online Backup. Carbonite backs up your computer files automatically and continually. With Carbonite, you'll never have to remember to back up again, ever. Unlimited backup space for your PC or Mac is just $59 a year. Try it free at Carbonite.com with no credit card required. Type in the offer code BACKUP for 2 free bonus months with your subscription. That's Carbonite.com. Offer code BACKUP.
Every so often, the stars are in perfect alignment. And during the Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, now is that perfect moment. For a limited time, get 0.9% APR on the certified pre-owned Lincoln of your choice, which also comes with the confidence of our 6-year, 100,000-mile comprehensive warranty. The Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, exclusively at your Lincoln dealer. APR varies by term. Not all buyers will qualify for Lincoln Automotive Financial Services Limited Term Financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by 10-1-12. See dealer for qualifications, limited warranty, and
As you grab your time card and get ready to punch in, and as you dedicate another day to honoring your contract and your commitment to quality, maybe it's time to reinforce to your boss and your elected representatives that they owe you for continuing to make their lives easier.
And that it is the work that you do that rewards them for the work that they do.
That it is because of you that progress is made.
That your sacrifices and your willingness to change help them grow.
And now it's time to honor what you have done.
And what you have done cannot be ignored any longer.
You will now raise your voice.
Your voice is now. First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. It is 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Thursday, the 20th day of September, aught 12, and a pleasure to be with you. We've got a lot to get to in this hour. At the bottom of the hour, coming up a little later on in this hour, our old friend Hans Barbe will be joining us. Hans is active in the Occupy Detroit movement. It's my understanding he went to Zuccotti Park for the 1-year anniversary, although we'll confirm that with him when we get him on the air. But a year after the Occupy Wall Street movement began, which sprung up Occupy movements all over the country, and I have to say, one of the more responsible and responsive Occupy movements right here at Occupy Detroit, was quite effective. As you will also remember on this show, we were doing an Occupy Detroit segment on a daily basis until just a few months ago. But we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about if they are still relevant, and we will get to all that at the bottom of the hour. But joining us now is Susan Demas. We'll get to her intro in just a second, as many of you know, and as we promoted yesterday. And again this morning, she is in her new time slot. So let's get an intro going, and let's do this thing.
If you have been looking for real journalism, as First Shift has,
then it will come as no surprise
that when we discovered Susan Demas, First Shift made an extraordinary effort to make her one of our regular guests.
And as you will hear in a moment,
the main thing Susan cares about is truth and fortifying her profession as a journalist.
And toward that end,
First Shift hit the jackpot.
As we welcome MERS and MLive journalist Susan Demas.
And we do welcome back Susan Demas. Susan, it's a pleasure to have you back with us this morning in your new time slot.
Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. Listen, I want to go to some audio. This is from WDIV Channel 4 here in Detroit, and it just sets up our conversation today fairly nicely. Go ahead and play that audio, guys.
How did a 5-point spread from the last poll Local 4 and the Detroit News conducted turn into 14? Realize our poll was done just as Romney's 47% comments made national headlines. And yes, it had an impact. But there's more. Our pollster, Richard Zuba.
Clearly, we're seeing a very successful Democrat convention for the state of Michigan. The numbers have moved to a double-digit lead for President Obama. The big question, I think, is because it was so competitive going in, is this just a bounce?
Are the presidential numbers an aberration? If you look at the numbers for U.S. Senate, that answer is no. Debbie Stabenow breaking ahead of Pete Hoekstra. Her double-digit lead is even higher than Obama's. She's up 16 points, 49.7 to Hoekstra's 33.8. What's fueling the split here? Women who identify themselves as independent voters have, after the conventions, gone to the Democrats. Look at the numbers. The president has Michigan women voters at 57%, Romney at 37%. Women are killing the GOP here. And the county breakdown is shifting as well. Previously, Romney was up 6 points in Macomb. Now Obama is up in double digits. Oakland County is the bright spot for Romney. He's essentially in a tie with Obama there. And Wayne County goes for Obama by double digits. The big question tonight, are these leads sustainable? And a word of caution about how things can drastically change.
Let me say this. You know, he's down. Our poll has him losing double digits right now. At this time in 1990, John Engler was losing by 26 points, and he won on Election Day. Comebacks are possible.
Yeah, comebacks are possible. But, Susan Demas, I don't know that we can really equate what happened in 1990 to what's happening in 2012. Just your overall impressions. We got a lot of time to work through this stuff, and there's a lot to talk about.
Well, you know, I think that it's true that in 1990 John Engler did make a comeback. We haven't seen that with presidential races, though. Conservatives have been pointing to the fact that Reagan beat Carter in 80, and he was down in polling, but actually, they're just looking at Gallup polling. The overall polling didn't indicate that. He actually wasn't down. So just talking about this poll in particular, I think it's really striking. I mean, I never expected to see 2008 numbers. And this could just be a bounce. Obviously, the 47% comment that Romney made was it did not go over well, and you know, people could just be reacting to that. But certainly, this is not good news for anybody. And you know, nationwide, President Obama has been doing well in other states. So you know, right now, I would have to say there would have to be something really significant to turn this thing around for Romney.
Yeah, and I don't even know what that, how you would define significant, what that would be, what would be the pivotal gaffe, if you will, or what mistake, what piece of information. It's been an interesting week, Susan Demas. There's no question about that. And as we look at the way the right is spinning this and the campaign is spinning it, and Mitt Romney has really attached himself to a campaign strategy that I find quite odd. I'll go back to the Libya statements that he made, which I thought was a big mistake on his part. And instead of trying to find a way to finesse it or politicize it, as most any other candidate would have done, he didn't just double down once on that statement. He doubled down twice, not doing himself any favors. Now, we know the polling that came after that is when we really started to see any close races widen a little bit in the president's favor. We haven't really seen much polling nationally since the 47% comment. We will, and it'll probably start dribbling in today, and certainly by Monday, this will be the story. But I, you know, some are saying it's over. Stephen Henderson on this show yesterday said the race is now over. I'm not willing to concede that because it's politics. And Susan, you and I have been on this game long enough to know that anything can happen in politics.
Absolutely. I mean, we have no idea. Europe could have a complete financial meltdown. There could be some international incident. We don't know. But there's just, there's really no way to spin these numbers. I mean, the Detroit News is not known as the liberal paper in town. I've known Richard Shuba for years. He's an excellent pollster. There's a lot of bad polling that's been out there. It does not come from the Detroit News. If there's any polling that I trust at this point, it comes from them.
Okay, well, that's fair, and I'm glad to hear that you say that. You certainly are unbiased in this regard, and if you didn't trust the polling, you would tell us you don't trust the polling. I have no reason not to trust it. I do find a double-digit lead, I don't want to use the word encouraging because that's not what I mean. I find it very telling. And certainly we would expect the race to be close in Oakland County. So, Susan, that's not, there's no surprise. That's just it. There really are no surprises based on the facts. If we apply the facts to the numbers, there's really nothing surprising in this.
No. And, you know, especially if you look at the female votes, Republicans just don't seem to get that they've really alienated women. And, there have just been a series of comments. You know, obviously, we all know what Todd Akin said about forcible rape. But, you know, locally there was Vaginagate. And I think that they just don't understand that women are not responding to the message. And women might have voted Republican in 2010 because of economic issues. But, you know, when you start really harping on the social issues, not doing what you said you were going to do, you're going to lose that voting block. And they don't seem to want to respond or change course.
No, they don't. And again, I just find that strategy so odd. Even with the 47%, the campaign speech, the video that was leaked, instead of walking away from it, I mean, I guess the best apology, if you even want to call it that, or explanation was Romney saying, well, I could have used more elegant wording. But it was very clear, Susan, you don't need somebody to transcribe what he said to hear what he said. I mean, it was very clear what he meant.
Right, absolutely. I mean, he might have said, oh, the wording was poor, but he didn't back away from the message. His message is there are makers and there are takers in society. You know, it's a very Ayn Rand perspective. And it's one, frankly, that the Republican Party didn't used to have, you know, even going back to last election. This is more of a new philosophy that has taken over the party. There was always that element, but now it seems that it's truly the party of Ron Paul.
You know, interestingly, and there have been a handful of pundits, and I'm sure that you've read this, that Mitt Romney's dialogue is really a second language, that he's not a conservative. He's certainly not a liberal, but he's not a conservative, and so he doesn't speak it well. And, Susan, I think there's something to be said for that. Why don't we take the break here? We'll come back and comment on that. We also have some numbers from the U.S. Senate race between Debbie Stabenow and Pete Hoekstra. And if you thought the president was feeling good today, I can't even imagine how Debbie Stabenow is feeling after her numbers come in. We'll get to all of that. Susan Demas, again, my guest with Mirrors and MLive.com. I am Tony Trupiano. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. We'll take the break right here. First Shift continues right after this.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
I think this is a destructive way to think. Mitt Romney should be running to be president of the whole country. You don't want to be president of all the country, you won't be elected president of any of them.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by McDonald's.
Checking your roads, and we got a big problem on 75 northbound just before East Holly Road. It's blocked by an overturned semi in the medium, and traffic is stopped from Dixie Highway. We got heavy traffic on 96 eastbound between Wixom and Beck Road, and it's slow moving on 696 westbound between DeQuinder and 75, and also slow moving on 75 southbound between Rochester and 14 Mile. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Drive through McDonald's and try a daily double. It's two beef patties with cheese, lettuce, tomato, mayo, and onions. You can try it for just $1.99 on McDonald's new extra value menu. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 72 with showers in the early morning and partly cloudy throughout the day. Tonight, a low of 49. Tomorrow, 71 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 60 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely, so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together, until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members, a place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen, be heard, take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after 7 o'clock, Susan Demas with the Mirror News Service is my guest. We are going to go to the phones. As always, you're welcome to join us. 888-552-3595. My pal Mylon is on the other end of the line with local UAW. Mylon, welcome to the show. You're on the air with Susan Demas.
Hey, good morning, Tony. Thank you, Sister Susan. Solidarity to you both. All I wanted to do was just piggyback on what you guys just said and just enforce to our members and our friends that we have the lead, you keep the lead. Don't get complacent. Don't take the poll information wrong and lay back. We run harder, run stronger now. Get everybody registered. Keep that message going, Tony.
Well, I thank you for that, Mylon. Thank you a great deal, and I appreciate you being out there. Thanks for the call. You know, Susan, we'll just switch gears here because we, you know, are always a little limited on our time. We want to talk a little bit about Senator Debbie Stabenow, who does not seem to be in a very difficult race with Pete Hoekstra. But you and I both know Debbie quite well, and she is a campaigning pro. She could teach how to run for office. She takes nothing for granted. She's amassed quite a quite a treasure in her campaign coffers, and she is well positioned to make sure that she can, A, get her message out there. She's the only one of the two of them on television right now, number one. And number two, she seems to have this way with people. I mean, especially in person, that's hard to beat her.
Yeah, she's an excellent campaigner, and she has stockpiled, I believe, $6 million. I know Pete Hoekstra is kind of counting on outside groups coming in to help him with fundraising after he burned through quite a bit during the primary, but, you know, given the relative lack of competitiveness to other Senate races, I don't think right now this is an investment that, like, Karl Rove's American Crossroads is going to be making.
No, but are they going to be making it on behalf of Pete Hoekstra? Are they going to take a look at that race? I mean, 16 points separates the two of them at this point with, I think it's 58 days left, 57 days left. You know, are they going to make an investment in this? Will it matter?
I can't imagine that at this point they would. I mean, they've got big battles in Missouri and Massachusetts and even North Dakota. There's so many more competitive races right now. You know, perhaps if they just had money to burn, they might try it. But, and obviously there have been polls that have been closer than 16 points, but there certainly haven't been any polls that have shown encouragement that, Pete Hoekstra was really pulling ahead here. Not anything that's been taken lately or that has been considered reputable.
You know, it's interesting because certainly Debbie Stabenow has a record to run on, and of course that also means she has a record for somebody to run against. The trouble with the Hoekstra campaign, they came after her on China, yet she has been the leading cheerleader and actually proposed some legislation that would repatriate jobs from especially China. So I find it interesting they're actually going after her on one of her strengths.
Right. I mean, Debbie Stabenow is a fantastic campaigner, and Republicans think that there's a lot to point to for her record that's negative, but, you know, she's chair of the Agriculture Committee. She has been in office for years. She knows all the players she's established. That farm bill is very critical to Michigan, and I think it's going to be difficult to fight her on the issues.
Yeah, no question about that. All right, we've got another caller, so we go back to the phones. Remind you, 888-552-3595. Stan in Shelby Township joins us now. Stan, good morning to you. Welcome to First Shift. You're on the air with Susan Demas.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I listen to you every morning. I mean, my radio station doesn't even move from here.
Well, thank you.
Anyway, my call is in regards to UAWGM Human Resource Center, which is down, between Solidarity and GM Center.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't had a contract since March. Their contract expired in March. I happened to be a UAW delegate during that period of time that we voted to have the UAW GM, UAW Chrysler, UAW Ford made possible. And at that time, I was told at the convention that these people were going to be treated just like UAW people. Now I'm hearing that they gave up all these things during the downturn of General Motors and haven't received any of them back. And they just, the UAW side of this, negotiations, they just don't seem to have time.
Yeah, you know, Stan, I don't mean to be rude. Let me do this because that's not what we're talking about right now. I'm going to put you on hold. Listen, Stan, I'm going to put you on hold. I want somebody to get your number. Let me call you later. Let's talk about this off air. Let me see what I can do to help you. Fair enough. Susan, let's again go back to the numbers on women. Women are, and you mentioned this briefly earlier on in the interview, but women are the difference now. Women really truly are the difference here.
Yeah, I mean, women are the margin of victory for Democrats. Without women, Republicans would win pretty much any election. And in this election, as far as the polling is going so far, they've really come back to the Democratic Party. I believe Debbie Stabenow leads 2-1 by 23 points. That's huge. that's a deficit that's going to be very hard for Pietrangelo to come back from, you know, especially when you start bringing in folks like Rick Santorum to help you out with your campaign.
Yeah, that wasn't although he did it on the west side of the state, it still probably wasn't the best, from a political opportunity standpoint, wasn't the best decision. There's no question about that. They don't get a whole lot more anti-women than Rick Santorum, and of course, he also has a record that he should be ashamed of, especially as it relates to women. And you know, I read a story about the convention. The bounce for Obama after the two conventions for women was remarkable. Now, the media ignored it to a great degree. And I can't venture to guess why they do that, but they do that, and it is what it is. But the information's out there; these are facts, Susan. When we poll, there's a science to this. It's not like people are making this stuff up. And women, really, a lot of undecided women after the conventions made a choice. Now, I was at that convention, as you know. Women were the centerpiece of the Democratic National Convention. You couldn't do anything that wasn't either women-centric or sponsored by a women's organization or had a women leader speaker that was a prominent part of it. So Democrats have really been smart on that score.
I think so. I mean, Republicans try. They feature, obviously, Ann Romney give a speech that got a lot of acclaim. They had Governor Martinez from New Mexico. She made a big splash, and, you know, she's supposed to symbolize diversity, and obviously she's a powerful woman.
And she backed away from Romney yesterday.
That's true. She did on the 47%.
Absolutely. Susan, I'm sorry, but we're just out of time. It went by way too fast this week. My God. We must be getting good at this, Susan Demas.
I guess so.
All right. Well, listen, thank you. Appreciate the calls. Well, we'll talk to you again next Thursday. In the meantime, we've got to get to the break. Hans Barbe with Occupy Detroit when we continue.
WDTW Continuous Traffic Watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Medical Weight Loss.
Taking a look at your traffic, we've picked up a new accident on 75 northbound just after 696 where your right shoulder is blocked. And we still got that big problem on 75 northbound just before East Holly Road where that overturned semi has traffic getting by in the right shoulder only and traffic is stopped from Dixie Highway. We also got heavy traffic on 75 southbound between East Holly Road and Dixie Highway. And slow traffic on 696 westbound between DeQuinder and 75. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Medical Weight Loss Clinic is Michigan's largest established weight loss clinic with over 30 locations to serve you. Start now and your first 4 weeks are free. Call 1-800-GET-SLIM and start losing weight today. Some restrictions may apply. Medical Weight Loss, the shape of things to come. Call now, 1-800-GET-SLIM.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 72 with showers in the early morning and partly cloudy throughout the day. Tonight, a low of 49. Tomorrow, 71 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 60 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. Chicago teachers are back in the classrooms as they vote on whether or not to accept the negotiated agreement with the school district. The teachers say they're committed to improving public education in Chicago for the long haul as they work with parents and communities throughout the city. Occupy waved its flag in New York City this week, marking the one-year anniversary of Occupy Wall Street, Melinda Tuhus reports.
Within the intentional chaos of the attempted reoccupation of Wall Street, as protesters snarled traffic in the financial district, Sam Talbot with Unite Here, Local 100 in New York, stood out, waving a labor banner and leading what he called a swirl of protest. Early in the morning, he explained what his affinity group was planning.
We want to do a little tour of some bad employers and union busters. We're going to go protest at Chipotle. They won't make a deal with the CIW, the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, to pay a penny more a pound for the tomatoes so that, you know, farm workers can get out of horrible conditions or at least improve a little bit. The post office, they're still trying to close all sorts of postal jobs, shut them down, and also the NLRB because we want the right to organize for all workers.
Tammy Bick was a stalwart with Occupy New Haven, which created an encampment on the green in the heart of downtown and held it for 6 months before being evicted by city authorities.
I'm here to show people that they can empower themselves and that they can take back this country.
Melinda Toohes, Workers Independent News, New York.
Workers in the United Kingdom are facing a struggle remarkably similar to the one U.S. workers confront, including a right-wing push for austerity policies, assaults on employment rights, privatization, and attacks on public worker pensions. Dan Dearden is a union steward in Britain with Unison, the largest public sector union in Great Britain.
One of the biggest disputes that we went into was the pensions dispute in the public sector. The long and short of it, I mean, I'm a public sector worker. I work for the National Health Service, which is facing creeping privatisation with whole hospitals being handed over to the private sector. The government said to all public sector workers that our pensions were gold-plated, never mind the fact that they generally only pay about £4,000 a year, so you can feed and clothe yourself, but don't see what's gold-plated about that.
Unions in Britain are organising a massive march against austerity policies in October, expected to draw more than 500,000 people. Dearden says he followed 2011's Wisconsin uprising pro-labor protests closely, and he believes with solidarity, workers can win our struggles.
For me, the Wisconsin labor uprising really was democracy in action. This was working people organizing and rallying together. Just remember that there is more of us than them. When they assault one section of workers, they assault us all. I mean, it might sound melodramatic, but I truly believe the movement of labor is international. We can't stop. We either go now and have a go, or we lose everything.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, TRUPIANO. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
Yeah, 35 minutes after 7 o'clock on Thursday morning to you. As many of you know, for the variety of months, we, on a daily basis, did an Occupy Detroit segment at 7:50 every single morning. We only stopped doing it not that long ago. And the reason we stopped doing it wasn't because I was mad at anybody or there was nothing to talk about. In fact, there was a lot to talk about. The problem became is we were talking about the same thing, and it got difficult to do that every single day. And so all sides agreed that we would take a break and regroup, and we may have them back. But as you just heard during the Workers Independent News segment at the bottom of the hour, the Occupy movement, which started in New York City in Zuccotti Park, just celebrated its one-year anniversary. The question is out there, and a lot of media have been asking it. Is it still relevant? Where's it at? And does Occupy Detroit still exist? Well, one of the names that was a fairly regular voice on this program during our ongoing series, which we did, by the way, for the better part of 5 months, was Hans Barbe. And Hans joins us this morning. And Hans, my friend, it's a pleasure to have you back on First Shift.
Thanks a lot, Tony. It's a pleasure to be back.
It's been a little too long. I understand that, and I could have this wrong, but I understand you actually traveled to New York for that one-year anniversary.
I did. It was a whole weekend of events, and actually there's still even things going on this week. I caught Monday and Tuesday, Monday being the official anniversary of Occupy Wall Street. But there was a whole Saturday and Sunday was, I think it was advertised as sort of a weekend of celebration, education, and liberation. So Saturday and Sunday focused more on the education and celebration elements. There were a lot of workshops and forums around and sharing around all the different activities that have been going on, whether it be, the Occupy Our Homes campaign or strike debt campaigns or anything that had been relevant within local movements, as well as just concerts and get-togethers and kind of more recreational activities. I'm trying to actually pull up the schedule here. Oh, there was film screenings. There was taking over the big screen at Times Square. Let's see, Money Out of Politics Assembly, Occupy for All, let's see. Basically a whole bunch of thematic breakouts around different topics. And then finally on Monday was the day of liberation, day of resistance, so to speak. And that was a lot of different demonstrations. There were several different blocks
So there was the education block, the strike debt block, the ecology block, and they were approaching the issue of financial control over our society from all these different angles, from the angle of education and the fact that most people expecting education to be the enabler of prosperity find themselves at the other end with a college degree and a whole bunch of debt and a very, remedial job to pay it off. The ecology block, trying to call attention to the fact that that financial institutions are bankrolling fossil fuels and destroying our planet to the tune of a polar ice cap that has never been smaller this year, ever, since we've been observing it. The strike debt block, which called attention to either student debt or housing debt or credit card debt, so many forms of debt that it's basically become a debt-driven system, which isn't a good way to, I think, run society, sort of fear-based system that if you don't meet a certain standard, you will you are left to die or left to decay or whatever. I mean, you get forgotten about. But basically, you are working for someone else, and you are working. And in large part, we still keep with that meme of the 99% has been working at the whim of the 1%. So it was the demonstrations on Monday started early. They started at 7 a.m. and they went clear into the night. I would say there were probably a couple of thousand people dispersed throughout the financial district. Probably about 3,000, I would, in my own estimation. And at any given point, I'd say the most I saw in one place at one time would have been 1,000 to 1,500. But like I said, there were so many different actions going on at the same time in different intersections with different targets. Goldman Sachs, the Wall Street Bull, and at Bowling Green Park, there was the New York Stock Exchange itself and surrounding that. Just a lot of different actions throughout the day. It was a lot of fun, frankly.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. But let me ask. I think it's an important question. It's a legitimate question. Is the Occupy movement? We can define that, and we will, Hans. We got plenty of time. Is the Occupy movement still relevant?
Oh my gosh, yes. Well, I mean, it's. this question comes up a lot, especially lately with the anniversary and whatnot, and reflecting over the last year. And I think people were judging this movement or assessing it by how visible it was in terms of comparing it to the first month and a half of its existence, when there were, actually I would say even 2 or 3 months of its existence, where there were visible camps in public squares everywhere around the country, even around the world. And it was a pretty exciting time. However, if you look at history, the labor movement, the civil rights movement, suffrage movements, abolitionist movements, all these movements, they did not, just accomplish everything in a year. In some cases, it took many decades, and it's like when I forget the name of the artist, he's famous for, if you look up close at his paintings, you can't even tell what they are. But when you step back further and further back, you can see what you were actually looking at. You can actually see a larger picture. The Occupy movement, it's still quite active. It's not necessarily as dramatically visible as it was with those encampments. But, there have been victories all over the place as far as, just dozens of homes that have been remodified, pushing back against banks.
And I'm really glad. I'm really glad you bring that up. Let me interrupt you for just a second, Hans. As you know, that together, because you and I and Bartos and a lot of other people, Shannon, there are a lot of people involved in this. We really brought attention and got donations from laborers, from union folks. We were able to get blankets and food, especially when we had the camp in Detroit. You know, when the movement moved inside, it grew. I mean, that was the thing that really that really excited me, is that the movement continued to grow. And I think that as a movement, and I'm going to say we because I was involved in it, as a movement, we got better at defining what we could make change in. We didn't lose focus. I mean, look at the work that Eric Shelley continues to do with the Occupy Our Homes movement. You know, Hans, you know, we some great things didn't just happen, but they're still happening. We're just not talking about them as openly as we did.
Right. Honestly, I mean, I honestly feel that the movement was more productive after the phase of the encampments. That, you know, the encampments served to make us visible, to, you know, let people know that we exist, and for us to, you know, just meet up in the streets. And from there, we started working.
Yeah,
and we got a lot of things done. You know, the Occupy Our Homes campaign locally was excellent. Locally in Detroit, we plugged into you know, some of the petition campaigns with the ballot initiatives, particularly Public Act 4, and repealing that. That's the emergency manager law, for those of you who aren't aware. You know, the fact that direct democracy was a regular practice of this movement was not something most of society is even familiar with. And it really, I think, woke a lot of people up, not everyone, obviously, but a lot of people to realizing that we're in a different time and place than past decades, that the solutions that have worked in the past aren't necessarily going to work anymore. And we've got to take a level of initiative that is beyond. And I'm not saying voting isn't important, and there are a lot of important, like I mentioned, some ballot initiatives this time around that are extremely important. But it has to go beyond just what bubble we fill out once every 2 and 4 years. That democracy and society can't just operate, you know, from the back seat. That we have to be in the driver's seat. That we have to be moving things along, pushing things along. And one of the things the Occupy movement did, and everybody agrees, even the naysayers of it, is that it changed the conversation.
Oh, it definitely, Hans, it definitely did that. Listen, we've got to take a quick break here, so stay with us. We've got a caller that wants to comment. I didn't want to put him on because I didn't want to shortchange his time.
Sure.
So we want to give him a chance to talk. But, you know, the one point I do want to make before we get to break here, I you know, was fortunate enough to really interact with a lot of people in the Occupy movement. This idea that they were all unemployed young people that didn't shave or cut their hair or shower, I never met those people. Were you guys hiding them somewhere, Hans?
I met, in the last year, I have met some of the most beautiful people I've ever met in my life, frankly.
Yeah, I believe that. Hans Barbe, stay with us. We've got to get a quick break in here, but we'll come back. Steve, stay where you're at. We'll take your call. Just want to make sure I have enough time to talk to you, buddy. We'll take the call after we do this. This is First Shift. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trivio.
You're calling Mitt Romney a liar.
Well, you seem shocked by it. Yes. This is a man whose staff created the PAC. His millionaire friends fund the PAC. He pretends he has nothing to do with the PAC. It's baloney. He's not telling the American people the truth.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So, if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive?
are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Joining us now is Steve Griffin, President and CEO of Veritas Entertainment.
Well, I think they're trying to defend the freedoms that we take for granted here in this nation. And this is not a Democrat or a Republican, a conservative or a liberal. This is about freedom. And I think freedom is something that we overlook because we've got bigger issues like the budget to deal with, or we've got this political race to deal with. But what undergirds this great nation, in my opinion, is freedom. And that's freedom for your neighbors that you break bread with, and that's freedom down here in the South for the people that want to go to church and still want to pray in schools.
On 1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift and Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. It is 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Before we get to the phones, I'll remind you, my guest is Hans Barbe. Hans, is it okay to identify you with Occupy Detroit? Is that fair to do, or...
I'm sorry, I missed what you said.
I said, is it fair to identify you with Occupy Detroit still?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
you know, I just want to make sure I'm doing that properly, and let us go to the phones now. Stephen Monroe joins us, and Steve, I didn't want to just shortchange it, because I would have only had a minute for you on the other side and didn't want to do that to you.
Thanks, Tony. Good morning, Hans. Good morning. I think what you're saying, you know, kind of trying to say is it was spontaneous, it was exciting when it came out, but because you guys couldn't coalesce around a coherent message, you didn't create any, like, leadership infrastructure that it was going to be a flash-in-the-pan thing, and I don't see much relevancy to it now, at least, especially on a political side. I mean, you know, you guys don't have candidates, you're not supporting any candidates, you're more like a social network function similar to a Gleaners or a Capuchin Soup Kitchen, things like that, and that's fine, that's good, but I'm just saying, from a political perspective, I just don't know you guys have much relevancy.
Well, you certainly have a right to that opinion, and I appreciate the call. Hans, go ahead and respond to that.
I missed some of that. I think the gist of it was, the political, questioning the political relevance of the Occupy movement.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. This question I've thought a lot about. We live in a political system that was designed in the year 1787. And, you know, just to give some perspective about that, that is a time and place where we had to, you know, run letter carriers across hundreds of miles just to communicate. We had, you know, agriculture was the main means of production. Communication was very scarce, resources are generally scarce, and now we live in a paradigm of abundance, but we're still using a system that was designed for an old time. So, especially in comparison to the Tea Party, which got very involved with electoral politics, I think the Tea Party was a kind of response, more oriented towards the quote-unquote right, conservative side of things. But it said, you know, it was a call saying, you're not using the system correctly. The system should be used like this. And the Occupy movement is more trying to say, the system isn't working. It's not working. The whole thing isn't working, and we need to wake ourselves up to this if we're ever going to come out of it. It's, you know, you can't change a broken system from inside that system. And I applaud frankly, the fact that it did not get involved in electoral politics, because it would have been sucked right back into that old vein of using a broken system.
You know, I have to, remarkable comments, Hans, remarkable comments. I think very poignant there. No, let's make a point here. Let's take a look at some of the, if we have to label it, let's take a look at some of the victories. We helped people stay in their homes. We helped feed homeless people. We helped make sure that people didn't freeze in the winter. We helped people connect to the process when they had no other conduit to do it.
Absolutely.
We had organized labor working with local governments, working with local landowners, connecting to people, providing services absolutely free of charge because a group of concerned activists stood up and had a voice in the process. If that's not victory, what is?
Well, that's sort of what I'm saying. We're trying to wake people up to their power. Power is not something that we vote for. It's something that's asserted, you know, with your actions, with what you do. And, you know, when a bank is just a big group of people. So when another big group of people pushes back, you know, you realize your sense of power. You know, a lot of people think of banks as these untouchable, monolithic institutions you can't mess with. And in fact, you can. And, you know, and that's what we're trying to wake people up to, that we're actually extremely powerful. And that in so many ways, the election cycle, because it represents a system that is so old, is actually pacifying our power in so many ways if we're not aware of that contradiction, of the fact that it's, you know, it was a system designed for a different time and place, not the year 2012. I mean, this is the time and place where there are enough houses to house everyone, there's enough food to feed everyone, but, you know, the statistic in the United States is that for every homeless person, there are 24 vacant houses. We just don't house them. The statistic globally is that 20,000 people, 25,000, die every day of starvation. And it's not because we don't have enough food. It's just because we don't want to. I mean, we could feed everybody. We just don't, because there's a system that stops us from doing that. The system is not enabling prosperity. It's actually the barrier to prosperity.
Well,
in so many ways.
And again, if you have to measure success, and I realize that some people do, and I get that, I'm certainly not degrading that. That's fine. You know, let's talk a little bit about success. Show me another movement, Hans, where you actually can attract people that are 13 years old and 83 years old. The Occupy movement did that.
I was extremely impressed, especially in Detroit, especially, like, you know, the age demographic. I think, you know, initially, and it's still pretty known for a lot of young people, and I think the reason for that is that the younger generation is kind of attuned to the fact that it's not, you know, those who've grown up in the system kind of assume that it ought to keep going, and those who are just coming into it are sort of questioning it more. However, you do have that connection to an older generation that is, you know, in so many ways trying to get behind a lot of the young people who slept outside and everything. You know, not everyone was able to do that, but there was a lot of pride and passion, you know, that came from all sectors of society.
Something as simple as, I'll never forget the day I got a call in my office. We were, as you know, part of the segment we did on a daily basis, we would go through a list of needed items. And so if we needed something to be donated, and so at one point we were really in desperate need, especially when the weather turned cold in December, we needed blankets, we needed jackets, and this woman calls me. And I had offered to coordinate picking up stuff, and Bartos and others were very helpful in coordinating that. Anyway, this older woman calls me. She identifies herself. Her name is Gladys. She's 80-something years old. And she says to me, you know, my son Jimmy passed away a few years ago, and I have all of his stuff sitting in the room, and I was just about to call the Purple Heart or something. Is there a chance that these folks can come pick this stuff up? She had a truck full of stuff for us, Hans.
I mean, it's heartwarming. You know, it's over the last year, we've seen a lot of, gosh, we had so many donations. We had more, you know, than we knew what to do with, frankly, by the end of the encampment in Grand Circus Park.
Well, you know, Hans, we're out of time for today. Let's do a better job of staying connected. And certainly there are lots of great stories yet to tell and, unfortunately, lots of fights left to fight. But Hans Barbe, it was a pleasure reconnecting with you. Thanks for being with us this morning.
As always, thank you so much, Tony. Really appreciate it.
You bet, brother. Let's take a quick break here. David Hecker with the American Federation of Teachers when First Shift continues.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Greektown Casino.
Take a look at your traffic. We picked up a new accident on 75 northbound just after 696 where your right shoulder is blocked. And we still got that big problem on 75 northbound just before East Holly Road where that overturned semi has traffic getting by in the right shoulder only and traffic is stopped from Dixie Highway. We also got heavy traffic on 75 southbound between East Holly Road and Dixie Highway. And slow traffic on 696 westbound between DeQuinder and 75. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Greektown Casino Hotel, voted best casino of 2012 by Metro Mix readers. Find out more at GreektownCasino.com.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 72 with showers in the early morning and partly cloudy throughout the day. Tonight, a low of 49. Tomorrow, 71 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 60 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
1310 WDTW.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this top of the hour NBC News.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jimmy Klishevsky. Back on the attack. Mitt Romney using a 1998 video of then State Senator Barack Obama to argue the president's all about redistributing wealth in America. NBC's Peter Alexander.
The Romney campaign has aggressively been trying to change the subject from that video of Romney that was shot on hidden camera to another video that they say is critically revealing of Barack Obama shot 14 years ago.
Meantime, two new polls show Governor Romney's video remarks that 47% of Americans consider themselves victims could hurt his appeal to independence. The housing rebound picking up steam. New stats show home construction, sales, and prices all rising in August. The industry says more people are buying because mortgage rates remain low. And hold the tuna fish. Consumer groups recommending that schools take tuna off the menu after tests found levels of mercury higher than federal guidelines. The tuna industry counters that canned tuna is perfectly safe and wholesome. This is NBC News Radio. New census figures point to an economic plus with more young men testing the job market while the poverty rate edges down. On the flip side, unemployment remains high and home ownership has dropped for a fifth straight year. A two-minute thrill ride at Knott's Berry Farm in Southern California turned into a four-hour ordeal for 20 people who were left dangling at 300 feet until they were rescued by maintenance workers. NBC's Danielle Alviar.
The ride is called Windseeker, and this is the second time in just 2 weeks the riders have been left up in the air. Knott's Berry says the attraction will remain closed while they further investigate the cause of the incident.
Now there's a run on T-shirts reading, I Survived Windseeker. And a middle-aged milestone for the big box store, three icons of discount shopping, Walmart, Target, and Kmart, celebrate a half century this year. The secret? Analysts say it's just not discounts, but bringing self-service and huge selections nationwide. I'm Jimmy Klishevsky, NBC News Radio.
With over 900,000 products and 31 diverse product categories, Grainger is basically an anything you need supply buffet. We've got everything from safety and electrical products to hardware, hand tools, and more. So you can efficiently purchase exactly what you need from one source, saving time and trouble. And just to be sure, the buffet thing was a metaphor. Please don't eat the stuff. Buy your supplies smarter. Just call, click Grainger.com, or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every so often, the stars are in perfect alignment. And during the Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, now is that perfect moment. For a limited time, get 0.9% APR on the Certified Pre-Owned Lincoln of your choice, which also comes with the confidence of our 6-year, 100,000-mile comprehensive warranty. The Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, exclusively at your Lincoln dealer. APR varies by term. Not all buyers will qualify for Lincoln Automotive Financial Services limited-term financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by 10-1-12. See dealer for qualifications, limited warranty, and complete details.
Brewed coffee by the cup has become an $8 billion annual business in the United States, dominated by Green Mountain and its K-Cup coffee makers. Starbucks wants to change the pecking order. The company has revealed prices for its upcoming Verismo coffee machines that it hopes will be Keurig killers. The basic Verismo will cost $199. That is more expensive than Keurig, but also more competitive than Starbucks often has been with its other products. When it comes to advertising on web searches, Google, of course, is king. Because of the reach of the Android operating system, Google also leads the mobile advertising business. But the firm eMarketer says, thanks in large part to YouTube commercials, Google also is about to overtake the display ad business, which includes graphic and video ads, forecast to make $2 billion a year, surpassing Facebook. Ahead of reports on jobless claim filings in Mid-Atlantic Manufacturing later this morning, S&P futures are down 4 points. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
I'm a mid-sized business.
One of the engines of a smarter planet.
I want to run my business in the cloud.
Who can I trust?
A bookstore?
A search site?
I need a partner with experience.
To manage my infrastructure.
And help keep my data secure.
Introducing IBM Smart Cloud, starting at $56 per month. Learn why IBM is the smarter choice for cloud at ibm.com/engines/cloud. Price subject to change.
Does your business thrive by serving other businesses? Would you like a healthy, steady flow of B2B leads that are customized to grow sales? Hoovers has developed a best-in-class lead generation tool that makes it easy for you to find targeted leads for your business. You'll be amazed at how easy it is to get the right leads fast. Try it today for free. Get 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial. Just call 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011.
We all know how important it is to back up our computer files, but actually doing it, that's a hassle. So get Carbonite Online Backup. Carbonite backs up your computer files automatically and continually. With Carbonite, you'll never have to remember to back up again, ever. Unlimited backup space for your PC or Mac is just $59 a year. Try it free at Carbonite.com with no credit card required. Type in the offer code BACKUP for 2 free bonus months with your subscription. That's Carbonite.com. Offer code BACKUP.
Every so often, the stars are in perfect alignment. And during the Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, now is that perfect moment. For a limited time, get 0.9% APR on the certified pre-owned Lincoln of your choice, which also comes with the confidence of our 6-year, 100,000-mile comprehensive warranty. The Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, exclusively at your Lincoln dealer. APR varies by term. Not all buyers will qualify for Lincoln Automotive Financial Services Limited Term Financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by 10-1-12. See dealer for qualifications, limited warranty, and complete details.
They call us a mob.
To try to divide us.
They tell us prosperity should start at the top and to wait for it to trickle down.
More like piddle down.
They refuse to compromise for the good of the country.
When you're right, you don't have to compromise. Compromise is for people that are wrong.
Instead, caring more about the politics of politics.
I don't know why he believes that it's going to be any easier for Republicans than Democrats to make these tough decisions.
They think we have no choice but to sit back and take it.
Think again.
No more. This is First Shift with Tony Trubiano.
It's 6 minutes after 8 o'clock. Pleasure to be with you as we continue to serve the greater good of Southeast Michigan and well beyond through the iHeart application, through our Listen Live link on the brand new TheTonyShow.org website, which debuts this morning. We are happy to touch a lot of lives every morning. And the reason that we have been successful doing that isn't necessarily because of yours truly, but it is very much about the people we bring to you on a daily basis. One of the things I love about this Thursday block, which we just started a few weeks ago, that from 8 to 10 o'clock every single Thursday, as Chris Mihalakis coined it last week, it's Labor Thursday or Labor Day on First Shift. And we are going to get to our next labor guest in just a moment. I remind you, if you'd like to join us, 888-552-3595. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org, and on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. I also want to remind you to go to Facebook, where we have a poll of the question, poll day of the question every single day. And today's poll question has to do with what I feel is a disastrous four strikes bill that has made its way to the governor's desk and want your opinion. With that said, I don't want to waste another second. Give me an intro and let's get going.
The empowering voice of the American Federation of Teachers, Michigan.
If I could just quote the New York Times, a portrait emerges of a company that tries to squeeze profits from public school dollars by raising enrollment, increasing teacher workload, and lowering standards. And they're talking about this one particular cyber private for-profit called K-12. The head of K-12, Mr. Packard, makes $5 million a year. That comes from the state allocation that a cyber school gets per child.
In with Tony
is President David Hecker.
And joining us now on the phone is the president of AFT Michigan, David Hecker. And David, we haven't had a chance to talk since school started, so welcome back to school, David.
Thank you, Tony. Sorry I couldn't be in the studio today, but great shows from Charlotte, by the way. I enjoyed listening.
Thank you. I found it empowering and energizing. You know, listen, since the last time that we had you on, lots have happened, and certainly we've got a big topic today, but I do want you to comment on something. Yesterday, as you know, the state released the unemployment rate here in Michigan. It's now up to 9.4%. And David, as you look at the reasoning for that increase, there just happens to be a little line item that says loss in education jobs. I think you probably have something to say about that.
Well, absolutely. There have been massive layoffs, especially in K-12 education. That, as you know, has resulted in much larger class sizes, has resulted in reduced programming for our students, most importantly, but also it is of great detriment to the economy. You know, people of a particular political party like to talk about private sector jobs and the multiplier effect private sector jobs have in helping everyone, if they have the direct job or not. And I agree, private sector jobs do help drive economy, but so do public sector jobs drive economy. When a teacher or a paraprofessional is working, they then have the money to go into the small business on Main Street and buy things. They then have the money to go into a department store and buy things. They have the money to maybe go out and enjoy a Saturday evening with dinner and a movie. If they're not working, they can't do those things. And those businesses I mentioned are hurting. So for some reason, the right seems to think that public sector jobs do not impact the economy at all, which is absurd.
Of course, it's absurd. Well, listen, I want to turn my attention now to what was a national focus. And first of all, I want to thank you for personally and professionally and the AFT, of course, supporting both in spirit and financially, the Chicago's Teachers Union and Karen Lewis, their president. I was fortunate enough, David, to get a weekly or a daily call during the strike from the CTU, who were nice enough to update me on what was going on. At one point, we were offered Karen, but she was so busy, I really didn't think that her priority should be 5 minutes on Detroit, in Detroit on a Wednesday. But we certainly covered that. And a lot of confusion coming out of that. And first of all, this is my personal take on this, David. Shame on the mayor for being so disingenuous and so directly obstructionist to the Chicago's Teachers Union. Rahm Emanuel really showed his true colors in this fight, David. I was profoundly disappointed by his behavior.
Well, it was certainly disappointing. And, you know, this is a situation where I'm fortunate enough to know Karen well. I may see her this afternoon or tomorrow in D.C. I don't know if she has time to come here, but I'm sure there's so much to do in Chicago as they're voting on the contract. But, you know, I've known Karen since she became president of the Chicago Teachers Union. And anyone who knows Karen knows her sincere commitment to the children her members educate in Chicago and to enhancing public education for all children in Chicago. And that, you know, that being a top priority. And you know that so many of the issues that were involved in this dispute were, you know, directly linked to the education of the children of Chicago and the ability of the teachers to do an even better job educating those children, and that Mayor Emanuel stood in the way or tried to stand in the way of the positive changes for kids that CTU wanted is disappointing, to say the least.
You know, I find it interesting as you were talking about Karen Lewis, I want to stay on that focus for just a moment. She was remarkably candid about her membership. She did not back away from any issue. Whatever the media asked her, there was no spin. She was honest. She said, yes, some teachers want more money. They absolutely do. And I've been honest with them. We have to be grateful for this or for that. She didn't back away from anything. She didn't spin anything. She was honest about anything. And maybe some people didn't like that. I found it refreshing.
Yeah. Karen is absolutely a straight shooter. You may not like what she says sometimes. I usually always do, but she's absolutely a straight shooter. And you're right. I much rather, you know, even with people who I'll disagree with a great deal, if they're straight with me and they're honest, I respect that. I know what I'm dealing with. And Karen's someone I happen to agree with most of the time, but she's absolutely a straight shooter.
Well, you know, it certainly brings focus, and of course, there's a certain political side here in Michigan that tried to turn the Chicago's teacher strike into a reason why Proposal 2, which of course would guarantee democracy in the workplace here in Michigan to protect working families, as to why we can't adopt that. And David, you want to talk about a stretch? I can't connect those dots. I don't care how many markers you give me.
Well, you know, right. You know, first of all, striking is legal in Illinois for teachers, for school employees. In Michigan, it is illegal, and we sort of reinforce the illegality in Proposal 2 because we reiterate that the state may pass laws that prohibit strikes, and which they already have. So there's that tremendous difference. There's also, you know, a fact is that this is the first time in 25 years that the teachers in Chicago were pushed so much to the wall that they felt there was no alternative whatsoever. I mean, things haven't been great in the last 25 years in Chicago, but the union worked things through with management, including now Secretary of Education Arne Duncan. He used to head the Chicago schools, and they worked through these issues and worked through issues, and it was tough. And they had, you know, a lot they didn't want. They got some things they did want. But it takes the fact that this is the first strike in Chicago in 25 years shows how rare strikes of school employees are. It also shows how much the Chicago teachers were pushed to the wall.
Well, and
really given no alternative at all.
And I'd like, if you could, to help walk us through some of the reasons why they really did strike. Now, we've got a break coming up, so I want to wait till after the break before we kind of bullet point some of that. But I do want to make clear, we have enough time to make this crystal clear. This was really not about money.
Right. Money was on the table, but this was not about money.
Right? No, there's no question that's true. We remind everybody, and I'm on Monday, October 1st. I'm actually going to be speaking at the Taylor Federation of Teachers membership meeting, it is great. And you know, they asked me to in a nonpartisan way just talk about the reality of collective bargaining, talk about the importance of communication, talk about the importance of, you know, what's right and what's wrong, and these are nonpartisan issues, and I think I'm equal to the challenge, so looking forward to that. David Hecker, our guest, he is the president of the American Federation of Teachers. He will be back right after this break. We'll talk more in detail about what the Chicago's teachers union strike was really about, because it was not about compensation. So what was it about? Well, stay with us and you'll find out. 888-552-3595. First Shift continues with David Hecker right after this.
First Chip with Tony Trivia.
If American voters are paying attention to Romney's trip, they can't be comforted by Mitt Romney's performance.
The Chicago Tribune quoted our old friend Rahm Emanuel saying, "I don't know how he'll handle the head of state job. He's made a mess of being a tourist."
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Checking your rush hour traffic, we got that big problem on 75 northbound just before East Holly Road. Overturned semi as traffic getting by in the right shoulder only, and you got stop traffic from Dixie Highway. Also, we got a Gawker delay on the flip side, 75 southbound between East Holly Road and Dixie Highway. And we got stop and go traffic on M14 westbound between Beck Road and Ford Road. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Medical Weight Loss Clinic is Michigan's largest established weight loss clinic with over 30 locations to serve you. Start now and your first 4 weeks are free. Call 1-800-GET-SLIM and start losing weight today. Some restrictions may apply. Medical Weight Loss, the shape of things to come. Call now, 1-800-GET-SLIM.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 72 with showers in the early morning and partly cloudy throughout the day. Tonight, a low of 49. Tomorrow, 71 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 60 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard. No one place to speak, no one place to stand together, until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen, be heard, take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
Just 22 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Thursday morning, my guest once again, President of the American Federation of Teachers, Michigan, David Hecker. We're talking about the Chicago Teachers Union strike, which is now over. David, let us go to why this strike happened, because, again, everybody automatically goes to compensation, and that definitively was not what this one was about.
Right. You know, there was a recent article by Diane Ravitch in the New York Review of Books, in which the headline to the article was Two Visions for Chicago Schools. And that is really what the strike was about. I mean, there have been endless budget cuts in Chicago, like here. that have eliminated, you know, a well-rounded curriculum, including art, music, and gym. There's an increased obsession with high-stakes testing. They're closing down more and more neighborhood schools rather than fixing them up. They demand that standardized testing is a major part of a teacher evaluation. They're not providing teachers with the tools and resources and supplies that every teacher needs to do the best job possible. Those are the kinds of issues this strike was about. And as I said earlier in the show, all of these issues directly link to the ability of a teacher to do the best job possible in educating a child. So it really was whoever wrote the headline to Diane Ravitch's article got it right. It was really about two different visions for Chicago schools.
Well, and certainly, and we talked about this during the entire strike, and I know that it's going to be an obvious statement, but it's true. Neither side wanted the kids out. Neither side wanted the strike to happen. Neither side wanted to harm anybody. Everybody understood the repercussions of doing this, but at the same time, David, if you don't stand up for something, then you really stand for nothing.
Absolutely. And these are issues, you know, that I went through that, as you know, are as true here in Michigan and almost every other state as they are in Illinois. And now teachers went back to work the other day knowing that they stood up and fought for their students. The parents who were, you know, as you know, Tony, were strongly in support of the teachers. And the parents in the community, because they saw what the teachers were fighting for, which were fighting for students, fighting for the teachers, absolutely, but they were fighting for the students they educate and their ability to do the best job possible. So they had widespread parental and community support, and you know that's remarkable because when teachers strike, as absolutely rare as that is, it is an inconvenience for most parents, but parents stood with the teachers
in a fairly remarkable way. They were passionately in support of what the teachers were wanting because they understand there's even a direct correlation between a happy teacher and a good student. You know, there's something to be said for that. And maybe people say, well, listen, professionals don't let what happens outside the classroom affect the inside of the classroom. You know, that might be true for a week, but we're talking about a couple decades worth of stress here. You can't just expect an entire generation of teachers to just let it go every day.
And, you know, teachers are people too, right? And again, you know, the things the union fought for, you know, if evaluations were based overwhelmingly on standardized tests, they would have to slash the curriculum, slash the programs they offer the students, and they'd have to, which all too many teachers need to do, concentrate on preparing the students for the test. If their evaluation is overwhelmingly based on the test. And so, you know, that's how issues like this are so directly linked to a student's education.
Well, there's no question that's true, and I'm just trying to see if I can quickly find it. But there was a headline in today's Detroit Free Press, and it's just not immediately popping up. But, you know, you talk about headlines, it says, most Michigan teachers farewell, comma, but is rating system flawed? Well, you know, why, you know, what's the point? You know, what's the point of doing that? You know, most Michigan teachers are doing well, David Hecker. We don't have a problem.
Because they always have to find, find something there. Absolutely right. And I haven't read the article yet. I'll read it later today. But I would doubt very highly that the article talks about the union, AFT Michigan's strong, strong support for comprehensive, fair, and just evaluations that truly evaluate how a teacher is doing so a teacher can get even better. I doubt the article talks about the tremendous amount of work our union has done in devising an evaluation system like that. because, you know, that would be saying something positive about the work of the ASC or the NBA does, you know, similar great work in that regard.
Well, listen, and go ahead.
No, go on.
I was just going to say, in an article in today's Detroit Free Press, a recent census data shows that Michigan is 37th in college graduates, and the reason that the median income continues to decrease is because we just aren't producing enough college-level professionals. Of course, it's much more complicated than that, and to me, this article is reason one why we need to pass Proposal 2 to protect working families, but we can have that conversation some other time. But David, you know, let's be honest. As we take a look at some of the data that I've shared with this audience this week, what's happened to education funding? We are spending less per pupil, K through 16 in the state, than we have in the last 20 years, if you factor in the cost of inflation. This is embarrassing.
Well, and let's, you know, we've been talking about Prop 2, but, you know, given your accurate comments, let's move on to Prop 5. If Prop 5 passes, it would be devastating for the education of our children and devastating for all the other important services, police, fire, many others that people get from our state and local governments. Prop 5, as you know, is supermajority. The person behind it is Manny Maroon from the Ambassador Bridge, and it would require a two-thirds vote of the state legislature to pass any tax increase or a vote of the people to pass a tax increase. So the fact that education funding 2 years ago was cut by $1 billion, you know, forget about increasing from where it was a couple of years ago, just replacing that $1 billion would be close to impossible if you needed a two-thirds vote of the legislature. So it is imperative that while people are voting yes on Prop 2, collective bargaining, people are voting no on Prop 5, so we could fight for the kind of funding that we need for education. And again, so many other important services that are provided by public sector employees.
Now, there's plenty to talk about. We'll look forward to having you hopefully in studio in a couple weeks. It'll still be before the election. David, travel safely today, and I want to thank you for your time.
Thank you, Tony. Great to be on again.
As always, I appreciate it. David Hecker, president of the American Federation of Teachers, Michigan. Now you know. Now you know the truth. You now know what the Chicago's Teachers Union strike was really about. Go to the authority when you need the truth. All right, let's take a break here. We're going to have some open line time. I've got lots of audio I want to share with you yet. And we have Chris Mihalakis coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. So plenty of good stuff coming your way on this Thursday morning First Shift program. Thanks for punching in with us. 888-552-3595. We'll be back right after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, we just picked up an accident on 275 northbound at 6 Mile Road. Has your center two lanes blocked and stop and go traffic from the M1496 connector. Still got that problem on 75 northbound just before East Holly Road. Overturned semi has traffic getting by in the right shoulder only, and traffic is stopped from Dixie Highway. Got more heavy traffic on 94 eastbound between Telegraph Road and Oakwood Boulevard, and it's a slow go on the Lodge southbound between Greenfield and the Davidson. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Medical Weight Loss Clinic is Michigan's largest established weight loss clinic with over 30 locations to serve you. Start now and your first 4 weeks are free. Call 1-800-GET-SLIM and start losing weight today. Some restrictions may apply. Medical Weight Loss, the shape of things to come. Call now, 1-800-GET-SLIM.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 72 with showers in the early morning and partly cloudy throughout the day. Tonight, a low of 49. Tomorrow, 71 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 60 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW
UFCW family of drugstores. Visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Food fight, everyone. Let's all join the fun. Actually, this is neither fun nor a fight that America's consumers and organic food producers wanted to be in. But we've been forced into it by a cabal of corporate profiteers and their government enablers. For 20 years, they've plotted to hurl fields full of spoiled food at us, including corn, soybeans, cereals, bread, and snacks. These foods have been spoiled by corporate geneticists rejiggering the very DNA of our foodstuffs. They've taken genes from other species, including animals and bacteria, and artificially slipped the foreign material into nature's own healthy products. The industry asserts that these genetically engineered crops increase farm yields and make food cheaper. But in fact, GE yields are down and grocery prices are up. The real purpose of DNA engineering has simply been to create plants that absorb more pesticides. Excuse me, but if these tampered products are so great, why are the big food manufacturers who use them not bragging about that wonderful fact to shoppers? They should be running ads shouting, "Hey, we've got GEs in here." Instead, they've conspired behind closed doors with lawmakers and regulators to keep consumers in the dark about any GE ingredients inside the products. This is Jim Hightower saying, this brings us to the big food fight. A coalition of consumers, organic advocates, nutritionists, and others have successfully put the Right to Know Genetically Engineered Food initiative on California's November election ballot. It would require food from GE crops to be labeled as such. Spooked by the very thought of consumer disclosure, an array of corporate giants are now flooding money and lies into the state to defeat the people's fundamental right to know what's in their food. To join the fight for honesty, go to carighttoknow.org. Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us,
like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy.
We make a difference when you give your voice. What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595.
You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning. My thanks again to David Hecker, president of the AFT Michigan. Looking forward to going out to talk to the Taylor Federation of Teachers on October 1st in the afternoon. That meeting, and I'll get that up on my schedule at the new website today, but that will be closed to membership only. And looking forward to coming out and delivering a message to them. Some more audio I want to get to. Again, we're open lines if you want to join us, if you've got something on your mind, if there's something you heard this morning, or something you just want to get off your chest, feel free to join us. 888-552-3595. The email address always, tony@thetonyshow.org, and on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. I'll remind you one more time, we do have a poll question of the day that we place on our Facebook page. And I know some of you don't have Facebook, so I will read the question, and then if you would like to send me your vote, it will so be recorded. Fair enough. But today's question is actually pretty simple. As I said, State Rep Harvey Santana was on with us Monday talking about the Four Strikes Bill, which made its way both through the House and the Senate. It is now sitting on the governor's desk. So the question is, the state legislature has passed what is called the Four Strikes Bill that would require mandatory minimum sentences after four felony convictions. Do you believe it will be a deterrent to crime? The vote is not even close, but I'll let you go decide for yourself. Okay, and again, the new website is up, so if you want to check it out, thetonyshow.org, go check it out. Let's go to the phones and welcome my friend, and I mean that literally, Jim Peterson, who joins us now from Belleville. Jim, as always, a pleasure to talk to you, whether on the air or off the air.
Tony, it's a pleasure to call into your show and listen to President Dave Hecker talk about the Chicago teacher strike. Peterson family is all about that. You might know I've got a daughter in Chicago that
is fully engaged in our community. I got a daughter at the DFT who looks forward to seeing you next week, and just had some thoughts. You know, it is such a great example about how collective bargaining works. It didn't take a court order to get the teachers back to work. They voted to go back to work, and the bargaining process works. I just think it's a great example, and it's also a wonderful example of dispelling the myth that somehow these Democratic politicians are so beholden to public unions. You know, they just cave in and get whatever the union's demanding. And so here we have Rahm Emanuel, who is just beside himself and trying to order the teachers back to work and stuff like that.
Well, I'm really glad that you bring this up, because although we talked about it, I don't think most people understand that Mayor Emanuel did go to the courts and tried to force them, the teachers, into the classroom, and the judge rightfully said, no, this is a collective bargaining process. They're not breaking any laws. Bargain with them.
Right. Sit down and negotiate. That's all workers and unions want to do. They have the right to negotiate. They should have the right to withhold their labor if they feel so compelled, and they don't do that lightly. David Hecker, again, said very well, the strikes are rare. And under Prop 2, they'll still be illegal in Michigan by public employees. There's no disturbing that. These strikes are rare. Hasn't been a strike by Chicago teachers in some quarter of a century. They went out over principles. It wasn't about the money. Heck, again, this stuff doesn't get talked about much. They were looking at a 16% wage increase over 4 years, and they said, no, there's a principle here, not a building principle. There's a bargaining principle involved here. We don't think we should be evaluated by our student scores, which reflect so much of what's going on in that student's lives. We get them 6 or 7 hours a day, and to say that we're supposed to advance them by a certain percentage, or to have the test score be the total deciding thing. I put something on my Facebook page and talked to my friends about, you know, imagine in my world, in the auto world, where the final assemblers are given raises or evaluations based on the quality of the seats that come from someplace else, the tires that come from someplace else. No, you get evaluated based on your performance, and they struck, and I think they got a good result, and we're just thrilled to have them back to work.
I'm glad they're back to work. I'm happy for the parents. I'm especially happy for the students, even those that grumble and liked the extra 10 days vacation. Even they're happy to be back to work, Jim. I appreciate the call, my friend. Let's get together soon for lunch, but I just have to move on to the next caller. Jim Peterson is a great guy, the UAW retiree, politically active, just barely lost his race for state rep seat, and I'm hoping that he's going to return to the political arena, because we need people like him making decisions for people like you and I. 888-552-3595. I'd like to welcome Jason and Melvindale to the show now. Jason, thanks for punching in with us this morning on First Shift. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Tony. I was just going to comment about David Hecker. I'm a laid-off teacher. I'm actually driving in a car right now with my buddy. He's laid off. He's laid off as well. We were both in Highland Park together.
Yeah.
And the AFT was our union, and they didn't stand up for us when they came in with the emergency manager law and shut it all down and put all us out on our on our butt.
Well, wait, Jason, slow down now. Once an emergency manager was put into place, your union had no power.
Yeah, we had no power, but before that, Tony, David Hecker didn't stand up for us at all, and that's I just wanted to call and comment about that, because, you know, I tried to reach David Hecker by email, by phone, and it was like pulling teeth to get a hold of him. He didn't want to talk to us. He didn't want to try to help us out when we needed it. Not, you know, I understand after the emergency manager was appointed, there was nothing that could have been done. But before that, when help could have been had by the AFT, when they could have stepped up and helped us out, they just turned their backs on us, took all our union dues, and turned our backs.
Well, Jason, so, you know, certainly.
You know, I'm, a big, I'm, Tony, I'm a big believer in unions. I really am. I grew up in a union family, but I just wanted to give another side of the coin there that David Hecker has turned his back on a few of the people, and he needs to step up and start helping out those teachers that are
well,
paying those too.
And you certainly, and then thank you, Jason, for the call. You certainly have a right to your side of the story. I will certainly ask David about this. I'm certainly not going to ignore this, but he certainly should have an opportunity, obviously, to address it, and we would give him that. We're just being fair. Listen, it's never easy to be on the losing side of something. The majority of you have no idea, and I'm not saying this in a derogatory way. Let me underscore what I just said. I'm not saying this in a derogatory way. Most of you have no idea the difficulty of being a teacher. Most of you don't. Now, of course, if you've ever been a teacher or you are a teacher, you do. I was a teacher for two semesters, two of the longest periods of time in my life. I wasn't good at it. I admit that. I've admitted it many, many times, and I wasn't even teaching a difficult topic. Folks, it was extremely demanding. It was emotionally draining, and then you have, I mean, let me tell you, for me, the struggle was, you've got this minority of kids that are really engaged, that want to learn, that want to do, that are smart, that get it, and then you have the majority of kids that are just filling time. And how you keep both of those engaged is magic, because I never figured out how to do it. Not successfully, anyway. And, of course, there's that human part of your brain that says, well, just focus on those that want it. But you know what? As a professional, that's not what you do. You have to give all of them opportunity. You actually have to work harder for those that won't want it than those that do. And you don't want to cheat those that do, because you appreciate that they do want it. Do you see the challenge that's presented in that? And I was teaching drama, folks. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like it was rocket science. Imagine a math teacher or a science teacher. Imagine being a choir director or a band director. Do you know how hard it is? Those are the biggest size classes in a school if you still have those programs. It's a massive amount of work. I hate to keep going back to this, but you know that when I spoke to the retirees last week and the guy approached me, I don't want to say attacked because he didn't attack me, but when he aggressively approached me after I spoke, one of the things that came out of his mouth was, you know, teachers have it so easy. They work 6 or 7 hours a day. They have 3 months off the year. They get paid for that time off. And man, oh man, talk about an uninformed bitcher. And I find that the best bitchers are the uninformed ones. But I wasn't there to fight with the guy, and I didn't want to fight with the guy. And so, I've told you this last week, and I think earlier this week, I politely stood there, I listened to him for a few minutes, and then I politely excused myself, because I did have to get back to the office. I had work I had to get done. So, you know, I even on this show, I try to give people, you know, their due. I try to give them their time. And Jason had every right to say what Jason said. I'm not going to certainly disparage what Jason had to say. It was his experience, and he has a right to express that. It's called the First Amendment. All right, 888-552-3595. Depending on you, we're either doing calls or we're doing audio. But you decide that. In the meantime, we've got to take a break because it's what we do here a couple times an hour. I'm Tony Truppiano. You're listening to 1310 WDTW. We will take the break and be back right after this.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595. First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. You are connected to the internet. I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Recently on First Shift.
Hear what I say, and hear what I say loud and clear. I am not pro-abortion. I am pro-choice. And if you don't know the difference between the two, you never will. Listen to me. There is no connection or correlation between rape and abortion. And that anybody would make that leap is absolutely disgusting.
First Shift with Tony Trivia
on 1310 WDTW.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support. In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
10 minutes before the top of the hour, a wonderfully smelling Chris Mihalakis is in studio with me. We'll get to him at the top of the hour. Not that you have smell-o-vision in radio, but I'm just telling you, he's in the studio. He smells good today. Not that he doesn't other times. Anyway, we're going to let that go. Folks, I have a chance to get some audio to you, but let me throw the number out if there's something on your mind and you want to share it with me. 888-552-3595. John Stewart is only John Stewart can do on The Daily Show. Took a look at that 47% remark by Mitt Romney, but he decided his focus shouldn't be on Mitt Romney, but Fox News. This is what he had to say.
Unfortunately, Romney's reboot was thrown off just a tad.
There are 47% of the people who vote for the president who are dependent upon government, who believe that they're victims, who believe that they're entitled to health care, to food, to housing, to you name it.
Entitled to food, medicine, roofs. That's the Republican candidate for the presidency seemingly characterizing a broad swath of Americans, which would include veterans, the elderly, the working poor, and much of the middle class, as a bunch of lazy freeloaders. It touched off a firestorm everywhere, but nowhere more acutely than at Romney campaign headquarters. Where it triggered something I like to call chaos on Bullshit Mountain. In the 48 hours since the Romney video first gained wide exposure, turd containment crews have been working overtime on Bullshit Mountain.
Keep in mind it was posted by a left-wing website.
Mother Jones, by the way, put this tape out.
Mother Jones, the magazine no one reads.
Are you hearing word that Jimmy Carter's grandson might have played an instrumental role in getting this video?
Oh, my God. Your campaign got blown up by Jimmy Carter's grandson? Oh, the Habitat for Humanity. So word one from Bullshit Mountain. Putin is, well, yeah, he said it, but you only found out about it because of people that are, we don't like. What's word two?
Well, the way he said it, it was not the best way of saying something like this. And
it was, he confused a lot of things. He messed up in that.
It's not the most ideal language to be eavesdropped on.
He wasn't criticizing them. He was saying that the American dream should be open to everybody.
You're looking and hearing the cynical, condescending, plutocratic words he was saying, not the aspirational, optimistic message he, in retrospect, should have been meaning. It's like Romney jazz. It's the words you don't hear. That's the... So, in our...
I got to tell you, and if we haven't yet posted it to Facebook, I'm sure Joe can find it and put it on there. You've got to watch the whole thing. It's 9 minutes long. We obviously can't play 9 minutes worth of audio, but it was really, really well done. And as I was telling you earlier, you just have to go watch it. There are certain parts of this thing that are just absolute genius. He does this whole thing with Sean Hannity saying this was way, and Sean Hannity actually says this was way back in May, and Jon Stewart does this little skit after that where he says yes, and then of course little Jimmy goes to Grandpa and says, Grandpa, tell me about May. Tell me what it was like. And he does this little thing. But the best part was then Fox News finds this audio from Obama back in 1998 where he said something about redistribution of wealth. So back in 1998, and Jon Stewart says, oh, my God, that was over 14 Mays ago. So you've got to watch it. It's only Jon Stewart can do. It's really, really quite funny. Well, not everybody's finding this funny, and this is really nothing to laugh at, although we certainly can poke fun at it, and we should. The conservatives and liberals alike are unhappy with this candidate. And although we listened to a little Laura Ingraham a little earlier in the show, she's just got her hair or her head buried in the sand. I was careful just to say in the sand. David Frum, the former Bush speechwriter and Republican pundit, had this to say on CNN over this 47% remark.
A lot of other Republicans, not so sure. Where do you stand?
I think that particular remark is somewhere between unfortunate and deplorable. It's right. The president's
talking about the Merry-Mount.
It's right. The president's economic policies have not generated the growth we need. And Republicans are offering an alternative. I hope it's a better alternative. And that's the case for the out party when the in party is presiding over slow growth like this. But in the middle of the worst recession, job economy since the 1930s, to offer people who are out of work insults, to try to chop up and say you are good and you are not, and to use the language of parasites. Parasites are microbes, not people. Although my scientist friend tell me they can be bigger than microbes. I think this is a destructive way to think. Mitt Romney should be running to be president of the whole country. If you don't run to be president of all the country, you won't be elected president of any of it.
And that means he won't be elected president of any of it. Well, David Frum just said the Republicans have an alternative to job growth. Right? That's what he just said. Well, Rachel Maddow reports on a very disturbing story, and it, by the way, involves a Republican no vote. Let's listen.
Today, Republicans in the Senate filibustered the bipartisan Veterans Jobs Corps bill that was totally paid for and totally bipartisan. In the vote, five Republicans did cross party lines and sided with all the Democrats who voted for it, but the Republicans still blocked it with a filibuster. And so we have no Veterans Jobs Corps bill. Thanks mostly to these guys, the lawyer, the optometrist, the football player fraternity guy, and the investment banker. These four Republican senators all wrote parts of the bill. The Democrats said, we want this to be bipartisan. What do you Republicans want to be in the Veterans Jobs Corps bill so that you can vote for it, so we can do this together? And the Republicans wrote most of the bill. These four superstars all added their stuff that they wanted in the bill. They contributed Republican components to the legislation. What they suggested was included in the legislation. They got what they wanted, and then they voted no. If I could write their names in the sky, I would write their names in the sky. There is no plan B for a Veterans Jobs Corps bill. They killed it. They cannot try again for it until next year.
And, you're right. The Republicans have a plan. I just wish they would make it a little more obvious to those that would like to know what the answers are. I think that speaks for itself. One more call before we get out of here, and we're running short on time. Mike in Westland joins us now. Good morning, Mike. What's on your mind?
Hey, Tony. Thanks for sneaking me in. And I've been listening to the Romney clip, and then I just listened to Fromm, but nowhere in the Fromm said that Romney referred to people as parasites, and I haven't seen that part of the clip. Is that only if you hear the whole thing?
I think Mary Madeline is the one that equated it to parasites, and so it wasn't part of that clip. And I'm glad we got you in, Mike. We're just out of time. And if we have a chance, we'll get to it a little bit later on in the show. But for now, we need to take a break. And the good-smelling Chris Mihalakis, the president of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO, will be our next guest. So stay right where you're at. I promise you, we've got a great hour of radio coming your way as we head into hour four. Today's gone by really, really fast. And that's always a good thing, at least for me anyway. Folks, it's a beautiful thing. But you know what? You need to stay engaged. We're going to help you do that in about 7 or 8 minutes. I am Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW. NBC News coming up. We'll be right back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, we just picked up an accident on 275 northbound at 6 Mile Road. Has your center two lanes blocked and stop and go traffic from the M1496 connector. Still got that problem on 75 northbound just before East Holly Road. Overturned semi has traffic getting by in the right shoulder only, and traffic is stopped from Dixie Highway. Got more heavy traffic on 94 eastbound between Telegraph Road and Oakwood Boulevard, and it's a slow go on the Lodge southbound between Greenfield and the Davidson. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 72 with showers in the early morning and partly cloudy throughout the day. Tonight, a low of 49. Tomorrow, 71 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 60 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
Hey, it's Tony from First Shift with Tony Truppiano, now on for...